Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. And you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Welcome to the Whole Andy Show. Your dedicated home for all things Andy in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment.
When I say, I mean what I mean, I say, and they become anthems.
I told you, if you let me out of my cage, I'm going to pile a body to the sky.
They just gave me a live mic on pay-per-view. So, if you all don't mind, I'd like to get a few things off my chest.
My name is Kevin Steen. And fuck Ring of Honor!
Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right. Because you have all made it to the dance. Because believe me, this is the dance.
With your hosts, Ashley is my name.
You ripped out my heart! You took everything I believed in, and you flushed it down the damn toilet! You flushed my heart! You flushed my soul! And now it sickens me to sit back and see other people making the same mistake!
And the Sun City Savior, Randy McWilliams.
There are so many amendments in the Constitution of the United States of America! But I plead fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth.
Good evening, hello, one and all. Welcome to another episode of the Whole Indie Show. As somehow this show has reached a milestone, and somehow we are a year old, because the first archive went up July the 8th, 2012. So, yes, somehow we made it past 12 months, which in essence means that we've lasted longer than King Mo's wrestling career, which is a huge success.
Ouch.
Well, I don't want to say Rampage Jackson because he hasn't got in the ring yet. Plus, he could actually beat the crap out of me. And no, I'm not referencing the Anderson Silva Friday scene, even though that was incredible. But yes, it's Ashley here. Randy, I think he posted the message to us a few days before recording this, saying that he wasn't sure whether his internet was going to be back on, so hopefully it gets put on. We'll have to wait and see, but definitely joining me as ever this week is Sandro. How's your week been, Sandro?
Woo! 1 year. Who would have thought we made it this far?
I did.
Yeah, as you said, UFC was last Saturday night, and man, what a fight that was. Nobody saw that one coming. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about indie wrestling. Very interesting news coming out the last, I would say, 75 hours at least, 72 hours. Very interesting news that we'll definitely talk about here.
And by interesting news, he just means kaiju.
Yeah, sure.
Would you want to do that first? Because they've announced 5 matches for the Kaiju Big Battle Show coming up next weekend. Which is interesting because they don't normally announce matches.
No, they don't. And this is, it's kind of as far as I know, I don't know if they've done this in the past. I don't think it did this for the WrestleCon show. But so far there are 5 matches already announced. We're not going to go over the entire card. We'll just wait for that for next week's preview.
Yeah.
I'll just mention some of the competitors involved. We have Paco and Pedro, which are the Plantains. There's Dusto Bunny, who's going to be in a match for the, what it says here is the Arm Wrestling Championship. That should be interesting, of sorts. French Toast is going to be there. I might butcher this one. Cyclo-octopus? Something like that.
Cycloptopus, I think it is.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a one-eyed octopus.
Yeah. Hell Monkey and number 13 in the main event.
For the battle of who gets control of Dr. Cube's posse.
Yes, it should be very... It should be a very entertaining night. I can't wait because I will be there at the show and it should be a very fun night to watch.
But speaking of that date, July the 20th, very interesting stuff has also happened over in Shikara. Yes, the company that doesn't exist. Well, the company may not exist, but the Shikara 101 message board still does. And Icarus put a very interesting statement on board, which was this, quote, "I spent the past month reminiscing about Shikara and the arc of my life these last 11 years. There's one memory that stands out more than other, the year Shikara ended. The bureaucrats got the better of us. After a hard-fought battle at the Allentown Zoning Board, we were denied our right to run events out the Wrestle Factory because we lacked adequate parking for the venue. So that was it. The Wrestle Factory moved on, and Shikara, barely even out the gate, was put down. In that downtime, the family grew. We should have been scattered, broken apart. But the fight with the Zoning Board actually brought us together. We hit the road here and there, but in the end, we focused on bringing Shikara back. We came to understand that when each of us is working tirelessly for the same end goal together, we can change the world. Even in those dark days, we knew we were at the dawn of something special. So we regrouped. We fought to bring our vision for wrestling to life. We fought for our ideas, and eventually, we won. And now, here we are 11 years later, shut down by a group of bureaucrats. And I look at the forum, and where are my brothers in arms crying fight like we did back in 2002? I see whimpering posts that seem to be saying I accept this fate. It makes me sick and heartbroken. It makes me angry. Shikara isn't some shadowy corporate suits pulling the strings behind the scenes. I am Shikara. You're Shikara. Are you forgetting that? I was given a family that quite honestly I can't stand. So I spent my adult life creating and moulding a new one. A family that I respect and love. You can shut the doors, liquidate the assets, and slap a for sale sign on a company. But not a family. Not my family. On my calendar, July the 20th is marked Eastern Pennsylvania. That's where my family was supposed to be that day. And I do not accept this fate. If Easton is where Shikara was supposed to be, then that's where I'll be. The Palmer Center in Eastern Pennsylvania at 7 o'clock. I am Shikara. Are you? Shikara lives."
Now
makes me wonder if all these shows that have been cancelled in inverted commas are now going to be unofficial sort of shows. And unofficials in inverted commas as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting with those comments that he Icarus has made. Yeah, it seems like this could be a sort of a unauthorized Chikara show. That's what it sounds like. And it's going to be interesting to see who else will be at the venue. Because as far as I know, I haven't seen any other responses from the supposed other members of the Chikara roster. So we'll have to wait and see what happens on that date on July 20th. So it should be very interesting to see what happens.
If anybody's in the local Eastern area that wants to be like the official correspondent for us, you can get in contact with us on the Facebook page. Just search Whole Indie Show. Or if you want to, you can poke me or whatever they do on Twitter, which my username is Ash. Is my name UK? So that's A-S-H-I-S. Sorry. I'll clear my throat and say it again. A-S-H-I-S-M-Y-N-A-M-E UK. Hit me up there and tell me what's going on. Because obviously I'm in the UK. I don't have the capability just to go to Pennsylvania. Yet.
Yeah, you're not rich by
Crow. I need a lot of money, and also not Krelly's drinking tap.
Yeah, you're not rich like him.
No. Well, I don't think he's rich. He's something else, but that's a matter of opinion. A couple of interesting matches have been added to the AIW Gleaming the Cube show coming up at the end of August. Biff Busick, Francis O'Rourke, Frank O'Rourke, whatever you want to call him, will be taking on Mr. Touchdown Mark Angelicetti in his is it re-debut or debut for AIW?
Well, he says it's his debut for AIW.
Yeah. And then Josh Alexander will be taking on the Utah Nation.
Mm-hmm. That should be one hell of a match.
Yeah. Now, of course, one of the big things going on this week was the Briscoe brothers were spotted in the front row at a house show in Maryland on Saturday. Was it Saturday or Sunday?
It was over the weekend.
It was over last weekend, and people were going, oh, perhaps that's what it is. Perhaps they've already done a deal or whatever. We can tell you no deal's been done. They probably have friends that work backstage in the E that got them those tickets. And also, I believe Jay's wife is having another child. And that's why the Briscoes have taken time off as a sort of like paternity leave. Which, of course, meant the title's been officially vacated now. Multiple people are being added in the tournament. I think when we get a full list of who's in this tournament, we'll probably go through it. But because it's still being added to as we speak, it's probably not worth going over just yet.
Well, there are some interesting names added to the tournament, so... Well, we're pretty sure you know...
The first one was obviously Elgin, because he was kind of... champion elect kind of thing, wasn't he?
Well, I don't think he's won any titles in Ring of Honor. He has had.
Yeah, but he was the number one contender.
Oh.
I think wasn't he first in line or something like that?
I really could not tell you. I don't really follow the Ring of Honor part of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there are other interesting names. Like, you have Carl Anderson from New Japan. You have the returning Paul London in the mix. You have, Kevin Steen. You know, it's a very interesting list of combatants in the tournament so far. And once that tournament bracket is full, we'll definitely give you the updates on who's been confirmed.
Yeah. Speaking of confirmation as well, the full, well, early last week, FWE started a tease for a tournament that they were going to be having, which has been revealed as the Openweight Grand Prix, which is an elimination tournament. I don't think it's over one or two nights. I think it's over a series of shows. I think from, is it August?
What?
It's a show in August, show in September kind of thing?
No, this show will take place in October. Mid-October.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's the October one, yeah.
So I'm guessing this will go out over several set of shows. I don't see this as a one-night thing. Because it says first round, so...
yeah.
It will be there like for a long time if they do this like one night.
But the 14 names that are confirmed for it, and that's another thing, 14 names is a bit odd, but... Anyway, we've got, in order that they kind of were revealed, you've got Carlito, Wes Draven, Chris Masters, George Santi, Tommy Dreamer, Joey Ryan, Petey Williams, Mike Bennett, Sonjay Dutt, Tony Nese, Jay Lethal, Brian Kendrick, Paul London, and Colt Cabana. Pretty interesting mix there, I will give that.
Yeah, and it's very rare to have Joey Ryan on the East Coast. He rarely wrestles on the East Coast, so this is definitely an opportunity to see Joey Ryan in person here in New York.
I guess he's still relocating from Florida.
I guess.
I don't mean to go that way, but yeah, I did. Now, some interesting news as well regarding more matches and God knows how many stipulations added to Dragon Gate and their... Well, Dragon Gate USA, sorry. And their New York double header over the 27th and the 28th. We've got confirmed matches so far for the 27th show to be a bunkhouse match with Chuck Taylor taking on John Davis. In a couple of special attractions matches, Akira Tozawa will be taking on Tony Nese, and Aita will be taking on Trent Barreta. Trent question mark, whatever you want to call him. In a non-title grudge match, Johnny Gargano will be taking on Rich Swann. And the main event, by the looks of it, for the show, which is now being officially called Bushido, Code of the Warrior. It's going to be a 2-out-of-3-4-6-man match, but in essence it's going to be a kind of a 3 Stages of Hell match, where each fall will have different rules. The first fall will be with two referees, with making sure that tags are strictly enforced. The second fall is Dragon Gate rules, which is basically tornado tag, isn't it? Or yep. Is it, you know, when you go out the ring, it's technically a tag out?
From what I've read, apparently everybody could be in the ring at the same time.
So it's kind of tornado tag
rules. Yeah, pretty much.
And the third fall, if needed, is going to be TLC. All tables, ladders, and chairs are legal. And that match will be seeing Chima, AR Fox, and Tomahawk TT taking on Ricochet and the Young Bucks.
Not sure if the third fall as far as the TLC is kind of necessary, but I'm pretty sure it will happen. I hope nobody gets seriously hurt. Let me just say that right now. Because you got guys like, you know, Ricochet or Fox and the Bucks, I mean, something could happen.
Yeah. Definitely. They've also announced for their July 28th show, the Enter the Dragon 4th Anniversary Celebration, there will be a special attraction match with AL Fox taking on Trent Barreta. as we mentioned last week, the Shikara tribute in Jigsaw, Fire Ant, Frightmare, and Amass is taking on Chuck Taylor, Ophidian, and Batiri. The Young Bucks defend their opening United Gate tag titles against Ricochet and Rich Swann. Or, what's it? What's his name?
Well, outside of the Dragon Gate world, they are known as the Inner City Machine Guns, but in the Dragon Gate world, they are known as, well, they're part of World 1 International, but let's just call them the Inner City Machine Guns.
Yeah.
That's all.
Then you've got a fatal four-way match, whatever you want to call it, between Chima, Akira Tozawa, Tomahawk TT, and Aita. I say fatal four-way because it's basically a 1-4 match. Whoever wins that match then most likely will possibly immediately, but certainly the same night, will take on Johnny Gargano for the Open the Freedom Gate title.
Yeah, this is very interesting.
Looking at it the way it's booked, it seems to be very much angling in favor of the Japanese talent getting the belt.
Well, I mean, they're all Japanese, so anyone could win it, but...
No, but I'm saying it's like when Rhino won the Monsters Ball in TNA and immediately had to face Jeff Jarrett for the world title, and Rhino won.
Yeah,
You're kind of casting whoever wins the Fatal 4-Way as the underdog, because they've already had to wrestle that night.
I have a somewhat of a wild prediction. I don't want to say this right now. I'll wait till the week of, but...
Yeah.
I think one of the younger guys is going to might get the belt. I'll say that right now.
Okay. That's fair.
And I'll give my reasons why in a few weeks.
Yeah. Now, very interesting story as well, kind of heading into, because there was quite a lot of Japanese news this week. And the first one is one that I can actually cover, because it is an interesting story I've been interested in. And this is the fact that kind of... surprisingly, unsurprisingly, however you want to look at it, Koji Muto's set up his own wrestling company. Except he hasn't really set it up, he's resurrected it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm trying to remember, is it... It's not World 1, is it? Something like that, isn't it?
No, but the acronyms are pretty
it's
much...
W1. Yeah.
Yes, it is. They are bringing back Wrestle One. Now, this promotion was active back in 2002, and it ran until 2005. Now, at that point, that promotion was run. Well, not run. They were pretty much sponsored by K1. A kickboxing cup promotion, and I don't really remember it running for 4 years. Maybe 3 years. I could have sworn it was less than that because it wasn't that memorable, in my opinion. This promotion had pretty much a who's who's in wrestling. They had several talents from all the promotions in Japan. They brought in a few international talents from the U.S., Mexico, Europe, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe their last few shows, they were having a tournament, but it never officially ended because it went out of business right before their last show. So now, apparently Keiji Muto, instead of making his own promotion, decides to resurrect this one. Mm. However, we don't have any confirmation if... Well, we're pretty much under the impression that K1 has no association with this Resurrection, but we're not 100% sure. As far as we know, Keiji Muto is in charge of this Resurrection.
Yeah, he'll be working under Gen Sports Entertainment, as they're going to be basically the management company for the promotion, but Muto is going to be the president and the director of Wrestle 1.
And all of the other wrestlers that left All Japan will be joining with him. All 14 talents that had left All Japan will be joining Muto in this new Wrestle 1 promotion. There's also
No confirmation yet, though, on Saya Sanada. But he currently is no longer with All Japan, but so you could see him go over there.
Yeah, he's still in Canada, you know, training and wrestling there in independent shows. There's no matches set for their show. Their debut show will take place on September 18th, which will be a Sunday at the Tokyo Dome City Hall. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's the venue that's next door to the Tokyo Dome. It's a smaller version of the actual Tokyo Dome, if I'm not mistaken. There has been talk that they might bring in some other talent from other promotions. So that should be very interesting to see. And I'm pretty sure All Japan, they're probably, how can I put this? I guess enraged, I guess, for what they announced. And I believe Muto made a statement about Shirashi and his management during last month.
It was interesting. Basically, Shirashi kind of said, okay, those talents that have resigned, I'm going to find them. Or, you know, look for some kind of compensation for them leaving as they have. And apparently Muto has said he's consulted with a lawyer and Shirashi has no legal grounds to force any sort of penalty on anybody who did resign last month. And Muto, from what it says here on the Keeping the Spirit Alive Tumblr blog, Muto pretty much called Shirashi a child for that apparent reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the re-debut show for the Wrestle 1 promotion, the Raising an Army event, will be coming September the 18th. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Japan, Sandro, have you got the results for Dragon? I'm trying to think. We got Dragon Gate had a show, I think. Did New Japan have a show? And I know Dragon Gate announced some stuff regarding their next show.
Yes, let's just go over the results of Dragon Gate's special iPay-per-view, their quote-unquote 300th edition of Infinity, which I don't need to go over that once again. Yes, it took place last week on July the 4th in Kuroken Hall in Tokyo, Japan. The dark match, Kenichiro Arai and Super Shisa defeated the team of Chihiro Tomonaga and Super Shenlong 3. The first match was a six-man tag as the World 1 International team of Rich Swann, Ricochet, and Sachihoko Boy defeated the Jimmy team of Genki Horiguchi, H.A. Jimmy, Jimmy Kanda, and Mr. QQ, Naoki Tanizaki, Toyonaka Dolphin. The next match was a singles match as Cyber Kong defeated Jimmy Kagetora. Next match was a tag team match as Dragon Kid and Gamma defeated the team of Bundai Ryu and KZ. K-Ness defeated Hub. Semi-main event, one-on-one match. Shingo Takagi defeated Akira Tozawa in a surprising six-minute match. 6 minutes and 54 seconds. Very surprising that match went short. Not sure what happened, but in the main event, it was the 10-man open lottery tag team match. The show started off with the lottery segment, which pretty much names were picked out from this lottery, and actually they picked out children from the audience to participate in this. And the match goes as follows. The team of Shima, Masaki Mochizuki, Don Fuji, Ryojimi Saito, and Uha Nation defeated the team of Jimmy Susubu, Naruki Doi, Yamato, Masato Yoshino, and BB Hulk in a 29-minute match, which is very interesting.
So if the guys are unhappy for being on the losing side, they can beat up children. Why did you pick me on the losing side? We're not condoning violence. I'm just kind of doing some weird, perverse imagination in my head.
What's wrong with you?
Anyway, because it's too hot over here.
Well, it's hot here too in New York, so. Anyway, this show was on Ustream, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it is still on their on-demand version. But if it's not there, I'm pretty sure you can find it in the interwebs. Just search a certain place. I'll just say Motion Daily is your hint right there. Anyways, they...
You could even do a more oblivious hint and just say Google. Yeah, and then just click on the videos tab. Not the YouTube tab, the videos tab.
No. After the show, they have officially announced all 8 matches for their upcoming 9th anniversary show, or the Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival 2013, which will take place in Kobe World Hall. All of the 8 matches goes as follows. The first match, Super Shisa and Sachihoko Boy at Rich Swan will be taking on Kotoka, Super Shenlong 3, and Chihiro Tomonaga. Next match is going to be Hollywood Starkey Ichikawa to take on Chiaki Fujiwara, who, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not 100% sure, but I think he's an MMA fighter. Don't quote me on that, but I think he has some ties in with MMA. But apparently this match will be a submission match, so expect some comedy spots there. Next match is the Jimmy's team of Jimmy Susubu, Jimmy Kakitora, Mr. QQ, Naoki Tanizaki, Tori Nakadolphin to take on Hub, Cyber Kong, and Nozawa. Next match is for the Open the Triangle Gate titles in a three-way trios match, as the current champs of the Jimmys are Ryojimi Saito, Genki Horiguchi, H.A. Jimmy, and Jimmy Kanda to defend the belt against Don Fuji, Gamma, Dragon Kid, and the team of KZ, Bundai Ryu, and Uha Nation. The next match is for the Brave Gate title, as Masato Yoshida will defend his belt against K-Ness. Now, the funny thing is, this will actually be their 10th anniversary match, because 10 years ago, in the same venue, they had a match, I believe it was for the NWA welterweight title, which is very infamous for K-Ness having a dislocated elbow and literally in the match putting his elbow back in his socket and finishing the match.
Oh, damn.
Yes, a very memorable match. Next match is a no DQ match, as Yamato will take on Masaki Mochizuki. Next match is for the Open the Twin Gate tag team titles, as Akira Tosawa and BB Hope will defend the belt against Naruki Doi and Ricochet. And in the main event, it is for the Open the Dream Gate title, as Shiba will defend against his first student, Shingo Takagi. Now, the biggest news that came out of this is this show will now be a live pay-per-view, as the show will be streamed internationally by Ustream. As of now, I don't have the price for the show, but when the information comes out, I'll definitely relay the message. And this is great news for Dragon Gate to finally have one of their big shows on an online pay-per-view, and I cannot wait.
See, the interesting thing is, if their streams go so well, does that make you wonder what the hell goes wrong with Dragon Gate USA streams?
Well, that's a different provider.
Yeah, true.
And plus, they're in Japan time, so they're way ahead of us as far as the hours go. So.
Yeah.
That's a plus for them.
So, I think that's everything?
For Dragon Gate, yes. Well, there is New Japan stuff as well.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead with that, then.
Yeah, I guess I'll go over their, special iPay-per-view that they had last Friday, which was the 5th. It took place at the same venue, Currican Hall in Tokyo, Japan. Six-man tag match started off with Ken Toji with Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima alongside Super Strong Machine, defeated the Chaos team of Toru Yano and Takashi Zuka and Jado. Second match was an 8-man tag as Toge Makabe, Manabu Nakanishi, Tiger Mask 4, and Kushida, defeating the team of Yuji Nagata, Hiroki Goto, Captain New Japan, and Takaki Watanabe. Next match was a 6-man tag as the Suzuki Gun team of Minoru Suzuki, Taka Michinoku, and Taichi defeated the Chaos team of Tomohiro Ishii, Rocky Romero, and Alex Kozlov. Next match was another 6-man tag as the Chaos team of Shinsuke Nakamura, Masato Tanaka, and Yujiro Takahashi defeated the team of Tetsuya Naito, Tomoaki Hana, and La Sombra. Next match was a tag team match involving the Bullet Club team of Carl Anderson and Bad Luck Fale defeating the Chaos team of Yoshihashi and the current IWGP World Champion Kazuchika Okada. And for those wondering, no, Okada didn't get pinned. Yoshihashi got pinned. Next match was actually for the CMLL World Tag Team titles as we have new champions as the team of Yoshihiro Tanahashi and Jushin Thunder Liger defeated the team of El Terrible and Tama Tonga. So Liger and Tanahashi are the 34th champion for CMLL. And in the main event, and it was a no-brainer, it was for the IWGP World Junior Heavyweight title as Prince Devitt successfully defended his belt, defeating Gato in 18 minutes for his fourth defense. And of course, big news that came out of this show, all of the participants for the upcoming G1 Climax 23 has been announced. And the competitors go as follow. For Block A, we have Hiroshi Tanahashi, Toge Makabe, Hiroki Goto, Satoshi Kojima, Kazuchika Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, Lance Archer, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Prince Devitt, and Katsuyori Shibata. In Block B, we have Hiroshi Tenzan, Yuji Nagata, Tetsuya Naito, Shinsuke Nakamura, Toru Yano, Yujiro Takahashi, Minoru Suzuki, Shelton Benjamin, Carl Anderson, and the surprising entrant, Kota Ibushi of DDT. Very interesting list here. And speaking of Kota Ibushi, I'll quickly mention this. DDT announced...
Before you do that, that tournament itself, the G1 Climax, will be going from 1st to the 11th of August.
Yeah, they have already announced several matches for all the shows. We're not going to go over all of them.
Mentioning when the tournament dates were.
Yeah, we'll probably go over them once the week of. Speaking of DDT, they announced for the next big show in Sumo Hall, which is, I believe, is their Peter Pan 2013 show. Don't ask me why it's called that, but that's
a brilliant name.
Anyways, the main event for that show, Kota Ibushi will take on the current IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Kazuchika Okada in a non-title match. That is very interesting to see that they made that announcement, and I'm looking forward to see that match once that footage gets released.
Yeah, it's definitely looks to be an interesting setup, to be quite honest. Obviously, there'll probably be build-up from there to the upcoming show after. Is it the show after it that Devitt's going to be going for the title?
Yeah, they're going for the title, but when the G1 happen next month, on the first night, they'll be meeting again.
Okay.
Of course, it's of course not a title, but it's very interesting that they're already facing off on the first night of the G1 climax.
So that's all the news for this week. We have got a few cards of results, though, to go through. First off, we need to actually go back a couple of weeks, because on last week's show we forgot to cover the results from the Wrestling Is Respect Quest to be the best tournament show. If you remember, this is kind of, they were broken into two brackets, and really the brackets meant nothing because it was just quarterfinals, semifinals, final kind of thing. In the first round matches, Gran Akuma beat Matt Taven. Franco Rourke beat Anthony Stone. Drew Gulak beat Gervais Cottonbelly, and Green Ant defeated Arctic Rescue Ant. Then the semifinals came next, as Franco Rourke beat Gran Akuma with a submission, and Green Ant beat Drew Gulak with a roll-up. Next saw the Colony Extreme Force beat the Baltic Siege, with thanks to interference from the Arctic Rescue Ant. So after his first round defeat in the tournament, he helped his buddies in the non-tournament match. And in the other non-tournament match, Pieces of Hate, Jigsaw and the Shard beat Delirious and Leech Lander via a Jigsaw superkick to Leech. And then the main event, Franco Rourke beats Green Ant and is the Quest for the Best Tournament Champion. Mm-hmm. So that's your card from that. Moving on from that to the Wrestling Is Awesome shows. First off, a Saturday show from Fairfield in Maine. Apparently the opening of the show saw Gavin Loudspeaker and Gervais Cottonbelly have a limbo contest. Okay, that's a bit weird. But started off with Estonian Thunderfrog beating El Hao de Ice Cream. Then the IWE Heavyweight Champion Heart Attack Tommy Mack and Big Gene Giroux beat Jiving Jimmy and the Frenzy Andy McKenzie in a Lucha Libre rules match. Tommy Mack pinned Jiving Jimmy, catching him in midair with a diamond cutter. Apparently nobody knew it was Lucha rules. It's a bit awkward. JFC, Juan Francisco de Coronado, beat Gervais Cottonbelly with a roll-up after turning Cottonbelly's mask around so he couldn't see. Francis O'Rourke beat Drew Gulak in match of the night. It's what has been described by the writer on Angry Marks, where we've got this result card from. Awesome match, lots of back and forth wrestling, and O'Rourke getting the win with a dragon sleeper. Oleg the Usurper with Sydney beat Shane Matthews, that's Bocabella, on closed circuit television or whatever. The Hobo, Joey Primer, beat Ice Cream Junior with the Mangalizer. In the four-way match, Max Smashmaster beat the Estonian Thunderfrog, Johnny Primer and Scott Parker, after Smashmaster pinned Johnny Primer with a splash. And the main event, Green Ant beat Yaka by submission with a front guillotine choke in what's said to be a very good match. Yaka won the match with help from Bacabella, but a second referee came out, overturned the decision, the match was restarted, and that's how Green Ant won. Then the Sunday show from Wrestling Is Awesome in Fairfield, Maine, saw Hack and Slash beat Los Ice Creams, Drew Gulak beating Tommy Mack, Oleg the Usurper defeating Andy McKenzie, Dalton Castle beating Juan Francisco de Coronado, Jiving Jimmy defeating Yaka, Green Ant defeating Kobold, Franco Rourke got the victory over Hello Wicked, and the four-way tag team battle pit match, the Primer Brothers, the Baltic Siege, and the Devastation Corporation all lost to 3.0. There was a kind of pretty good surprise there, as really with the size of the guys that Devastation Corporation are, you have to put them as relatively strong favourites in those matches. So A nice little upset there. Final one we're just going to cover here is going to be FIP's Declaration of Independence show from last Friday. Started off with David Starr beating Derek Rise via a lion tamer submission. Earl Cooter beat Mr. Milo Beasley with a kill switch, or a swinging kill switch, sorry. In the four-way freestyle, Maxwell Chicago beat Latin Dragon, the Magi Amasis, and Jessica Havoc, as Chicago pinned Latin Dragon. Kenneth Cameron beat Chasen Rance with a suplex. Caleb Connolly beat Shane Strickland with a kick and a super cradle shock. The FIP World Tag Titles on the line, and new champions crowned as the Bravado Brothers, with Trina Michaels, beat Dos Bendejos of Rios and Cruz, and the KOA. Or I think were they champions? No, it was the Dos Bendejos were. KOA of Dunkerton and Epic via the Harlem with Roll the Dice to Dunkerton, after Dunkerton was distracted by Trina. Then in the 0-1 International Junior Heavyweight title match, Jonathan Gresham successfully defended, beating Lince Dorado with a deadlift wrist clutch German suplex and bridge to retain. And then the main event for the FIP World Heavyweight Championship, Trent Barretta beat John Davis via DQ. So John Davis is still your champion. What happened is Davis looked at Trent and then clotheslined the referee. Trent then went in the forearm, Davis fired back, went back and forth. Davis got an elbow, but Trent then hit with a knee. Trent got an enziguri and a super kick, followed by a jig and tonic for the free count. But the referee, when he came round, disqualified Davis. So despite the fact he got the pinfall, that didn't matter. It was the DQ that won it for Trent, but meant that Davis kept his belt. So expect to see that continue on FIP's next show, whenever that is. I'm not entirely sure when.
Yeah, let me just say
with that. Oh, go ahead.
Let me just say this real quick. I'm glad to see that the Bravado to get some gold in the indie scene. So I'm glad they get some gold, and hopefully they'll do well.
Okay, so when we come back, we actually do have a few emails of results from Eltrang. By the way, we will be giving you an update on Eltrang, considering what I offered him last week as well. Okay. And we'll also go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I forgot about that.
And then also we're going to do another, I don't know, I don't want to say how many parts we're going to do, because I don't know how many parts we're actually going to use to do the part year, the 6 month review, progress report, whatever you want to call it. But we're definitely tonight going to be covering the two shows which do have events coming up this weekend, which we'll be covering in the third segment. So that's Shine and also Shimmer. We'll be putting those two together, and also CZW and how they've done over the last 6 months. So here's a few commercials and we'll see you back here in a few minutes.
SNS Unplugged has returned to the airwaves. You can check out the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, and of course, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as they discuss the happenings from Monday Night Raw, NXT, the latest news of the week sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com, and then things get a little interesting as the topics could change from week to week, including topics such as the supernatural, conspiracy theories. Basically, whatever the hell these guys want to talk about, they're going to cover it every Tuesday night right here on the SNS Radio Network. SNS Unplugged is back, baby. Uncensored. Unbelievable. Unplugged. I'm waking up.
Hey guys, JJ Sexay here. Are you looking for the latest news in both professional wrestling and mixed martial arts? Well, check out www.wrestling-online.com. Sign up for one of the longest running newsletters in professional wrestling, over 16 years, and just like Wrestling News Live, it's absolutely free. Join over 27,000 other subscribers, wrestling-online.com.
You will learn to pronounce my name properly.
Wrestling-online.com.
Let's go to our ring announcer.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman, and I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, and I'll see you at the matches. It's go time!
Sando, Ashley, and yes, we've managed to reinsert his dongle into the Ethernet connection, or whatever you call it. And Randy's here. Randy, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. July is here. Well, it's been here for a while, so the dog days of summer are here. Can't wait till the dog days of summer do end, so I can play the dog days of summer, or Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. Yeah, I know. Late pun there. Wah, wah, wah. Anyway.
Other dogs are available. They don't just have to be Dog Days or something.
They can be Cat Days, I guess. They can be Frog Days, whatever you want to call
it. Crocodile Days. That'd be scary. Anyway, yeah. As I said, first we're going to go through some emails from L-Train. Covering some of the stuff that's happened in the Cali area in the past couple of weeks. But before I get to that, we are tentatively scheduled next week to have L-Train actually on, possibly for the whole show. Unlikely just for the middle segment, because if I can get him on for the whole show to get his thoughts on stuff, it would be good. But also to basically give us an insight into Cali wrestling of sorts. And yes, to just to prove that there is stuff other than PWG and Quintessential Pro that gets a lot of publicity. Because if we can have, like, we can be the official, like, correspondent to EWF or whatever, that would be kind of interesting. I don't think we can do, but anyway. So keep an eye out for that next week, people. I guess that's kind of our 1 year anniversary celebration of sorts. I don't know. I might be grasping at straws. There you go. But starting off with some of the results from the IWL Too Insane for Television show from the 28th of June, which was from the Santino Bros Dojo. I don't think it's that Santino. Don't worry, people. In the pre-show, Steven Andrews won a five-way match with Tyler Durkin. Oh, no, four-way, sorry. Tyler Durkin, Fresh to Death's Leo Blaze, and Santino Brothers' own Bruno Santana, which meant that Andrews was number one contender to the breakout title. Ray Rojas and Eric Cross make their way to the ring. Rojas was scheduled to face his tag team partner for the title, Pretty Peter Avalon, but Avalon couldn't make it. Rojas basically issued an open challenge, therefore, to anyone on the roster, and Jacob Diaz answered the challenge. He failed at that challenge, as Rojas won with a Death Valley driver. Apparently, he did a promo before that about talking about his 498 days as Anarchy champion. And the crowd after the match, when he won, just chanted 499. So I guess they're keeping count like CM Punk's fans. I don't know. The breakout champion, Simon Lotto, successfully defended against Che Cabrera. But there was respect shown to each other after the match. Now, it was body slam challenge. Oh, my word. I'm not drinking, honestly. With Terex and Eric Watts. Terex was making his way out until Eric Watts got the drop on him and attacked him. They started brawling on the floor. Then, in the challenge, Terex won and afterwards continued to beat down and delivered a pretty big moonsault on a tired Eric Watts. Then Eric Cross with Ray Rojas beat B-Boy after Rojas distracted B-Boy. And Eric Cross got the schoolboy pin with a handful of tights. Then for the IWL tag team titles, the Young Bucks beat Willie Mack and Famous B. After the referee being taken out and Nick Jackson hitting a low blow on Willie Mack and rolling him up, with both Bucks getting the cover. And the main event, Johnny Saovi successfully retained his IWL world title against Drake Younger. Apparently, Rojas and Cross did make their way to ringside, and Rojas distracted the ref as Cross hit Younger with a loaded fanny pack, which allowed Savoy to hit the corkscrew driver to retain the belt. After the match, Cross and Rojas attacked both men, but Saovi was able to send Cross to the back, and Rojas got a chair shot from Drake Younger. Cross returned and issued a challenge to Johnny for a match on July the 12th. And Cross said he'd once he defeated him, he'd go on to New Era 8 and face his buddy in a champion versus champion match. So that match, as you're probably listening to this, has already happened. Or no, because it's Friday, it'll probably be happening at the same time as you're listening to this, I'm not sure. But the results from that show will be coming probably directly from his mouth next week, if not for via an email. And he also mentions the championship wrestling from Hollywood shows from the Santino brothers are shown live for free on Ustream. Good. You know, free stuff on Ustream. You don't have to pay for it. Get that, New Japan? No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
that seems to be working for them. So.
It has. Too bad that the licensed music has to be completely blurred out. Or I should say completely blurred out, completely muted out. So you can't hear.
Yeah.
Well, since Prince Devitt changed his theme, you can hear his now. And there's a few others I could go on and on and on about. But.
Search, apparently, for the championship from wrestling from Hollywood shows. You can search Wrestling Weekly at the start time of 8:30, which obviously that's 8:30 Pacific, so that's 11:30 on the East Coast. So if you want to stay up late and see something that probably you don't have to stay up as late for, like Japanese wrestling, watch some championship wrestling from Hollywood shows for free.
It's only an hour away for me, or an hour time difference.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So next we've got the EWF results from last Friday. The show from Covina, which saw, first off, Jacob Tarasso beats America's Greatest Hero, Freddie Bravo, via a figure four leg lock. Well, what L-Train says here, it looks to be an Indian death lock or a sideways figure four to force the tap out. The American champion Sweet Sugar came out to host the Sweet Spot, wearing a red, white, and blue wig, while a picnic layout was placed in the ring. Called out Killer Gorilla and made comment of him hailing from the concrete jungle and pulled out a bunch of bananas. Then he made a comment as to whether his dominance translates to his performance in the bedroom with Mrs. Gorilla, and then pulled out a bunch of micro bananas. This, of course, led to the Gorilla attacking Sugar and clotheslining him out the ring, and the commissioner announced a match to happen later in the night between the two of them. Hudson Envy's challenge to start wrestling male opponents will be decided by a best-of-seven series that she'll have against Tab Jackson, which started on the show, the Saturday show, which we'll get to. If Hudson Envy wins the series, her request will be granted. Then we had the flag match as Prince Rashid Mohammed Najjar, and he notes in the email, yes, you did pronounce it correctly last week. Yes, I was successful this time. Najjar was accompanied by Abu, beats Uptown Andy Brown. Abu tried to distract Brown, and when Brown managed to reveal Abu's face from his head covering, it turned out to be DK Dropkick Murphy from a tag team, the Barroom Saints, which allowed Najjar to grab the Lebanese flag for the win and assault Andy Brown with it afterwards. In a non-title match, Killer Gorilla beat Sugar Sweet, managing to hit a powerful backbreaker on him, then used Sider's and weight advantage to get the pin. Sugar apparently flipped out at ringside, proclaiming he was still the champ at the end, which is true. Then we had the arm wrestling challenge between the Mega King, Tommy Wilson, and ringscoops.com webmaster and the commentator, Wade Needham. Wade obviously couldn't wheel his way into the ring because he uses a wheelchair, but he did announce a replacement for himself, who was Patient Zero. They did position themselves with the arm wrestling challenge, but Zero hesitated, which led to a beatdown by Tommy Wilson and an impromptu match. But in this match, Patient Zero did beat Tommy Wilson by countout after constant jabbering between Wade and Wilson, including Wilson grabbing Wade by the shirt and throwing his water at Wilson. It led to Mega King being counted out. He then mentions the intermission where he ran into Buggy Nova, who must have been at the show as well, just attending it. Vintage Dragon then beat Ryan Taylor, and this was apparently the match that myself and Sean heard in the background during the call on last week's open book. So now you can gauge where it is in the show, people. Excellent match here, L-Train says, and despite Dragon getting busted open late in the match, managed to land a sunset flip neckbreaker to score the pin, giving the Von Dooms extra momentum going into their tag title defense against the Fallen Empire the following night. The main event saw a tornado tag team match as the experience of Scorpio Sky and Big Duke beat the EWF heavyweight champion of Iron Man, Mike Mays, and Richie Slade with Tab Jackson. When Tab attempted to thwart a title belt shot by Scorpio Sky by taking the belt, Big Duke threw her back into the ring, and Scorpio Sky, after yelling Chris Brown, picked her up and hit her with the Ace of Spades cutter. Wow. That's an interesting one. After that, Slade picked her up and took her to the back while both Scorpio and Duke double-teamed Mays, and a big backbreaker by Big Duke allowed Scorpio to get the pin. Sky then boasted about regaining the title after the bell. The Deputy Commissioner, Handsome Johnny Starr, came out and announced that Sky would get his shot next month in August in Covina in a Three Stages of Hell match. The first fall would be a no DQ match. The second fall will be a false count anywhere. And if it needs a third fall, the third fall will be a ladder match. So that will finish as a ladder match, people. I'm pretty sure. And then the Saturday show last week saw Rashid Najjar and Ali Barbois beat the Mexican Warrior and Killer Gorilla. Richie Slade beat the Fletcher Fugas. There you go. And when I find one name that I know how to pronounce, I find another one where I struggle. Damn it. Uptown Andy Brown beat Tarasso. The American champion, Sugar Sweet, successfully retained against Patient Zero. Iron Man Mike Mays beat Brute Barreto to retain his EWF heavyweight title. Andy Brown won an over-the-top battle royal. Eddie Mattson beat the Mexican Warrior. Fletcher, Fugas, Sugar Sweet, and Brute Barreto beat Killer Gorilla, Prototype Fox, and the Gold Power Ninja. Wow, that's an interesting name. And in one final defense on the night, Mike Mays retained against Rashid Najjar for the EWF title. This Saturday, EWF's got a show at the School of Hard Knocks at the MC Sports Centre at 297 East Redlands Boulevard, San Bernardino, California, 8 p.m. featuring Patient Zero versus Tarasso, Fletcher Fugas versus Prototype Fox, Tab Jackson versus Hudson Envy in the first of the Best of Seven series, Sebastian Ice versus Brute Barreto, the tag team champs, the Von Dooms, defending against the Fallen Empire, and Mike Mays defending his belt once again against Tony Reyes. And then he says, look forward to joining you guys next week. So that's everything there. Done. Thank you very much for the email, L-Train. Looking forward to next week. And, yeah. Now we jump into a little bit of chat regarding, again, a progress report. I think we'll call it the progress report for the indie shows. For this first little bit, we'll focus on women's wrestling. So I guess the three big ones we got here are Shine, Shimmer, and WSU. Yes, WSU only had a couple of shows, but one thing I do want to point out from the WSU show, there was one hell of a match between Jessica Havoc and Sami Callihan. That kind of blew me away, because I wasn't expecting that match to be as good as it was. Which probably says a lot about why I'm now becoming a Jessica Havoc fan. Because her in-ring work is pretty impressive, I will say that. But trying to think, you also had the King Queen of the Ring tournament, which Athena and AR Fox won. Athena's getting her title shot, isn't she, against Havoc in August? Guys?
Yes, Athena is getting a title shot for Havoc's title, which in fact is actually a rematch from their first show back in February. They had a match there, and that was pretty damn good. So I'm pretty sure we'll expect the same, hopefully maybe even better than their first encounter back in February.
Yeah, yeah. From an Ultraviolent Affair, if I believe, was the name of the show.
Yeah, because that was the start of the partner. Well, was it the start of the partnership with CZW?
That was the
start of Doubleheader, certainly, surely.
The partnership occurred shortly afterwards. But WSU is now aligned with which was already owned by Beyond Wrestling, which in turn means CZW also works with Beyond Wrestling. as well in a way, but with WSU as well. Also, Athena and Havoc had had a match earlier back at ACW for their Queen of Queens tournament, which Athena won after hitting the O-face onto stack on Havoc for off the apron onto a stack of chairs.
Damn.
Damn.
I think I remember I saw the finish somewhere on one of their videos on the YouTube page. I'll probably send y'all a link and maybe post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, so it's, in terms of women's wrestling, yes, it's, well, I'm trying to think. Shine, obviously you got the tournament still going on, but one person that has done pretty good, although it wasn't for that much of this year, was Ruby Sky, and now it seems she's just, like, not done any sort of wrestling since. She's kind of a surprise.
Yeah, and I said it before. I said it before, it makes you wonder if the wrong person won the match. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Shine situation's been interesting, obviously, with the rise of Valkyrie. I said it right. I nearly said Valkyrie. I don't know why, but I nearly did. But, yeah, the Valkyrie kind of group has been a very good group. Much better than Aces and Eights, because it actually seems to do something.
Although one of the members does appear for Aces and Eights in a future pay-per-view from that Florida company.
In a one-off show that they're going to forget about. No, it was more important to sign up Lady Tapas.
Well, nothing wrong with Lady Tapas. Like, we would have rather it be Evil.
Until they release her in 5 months.
Oh, yeah, then it's going to be bullshit. But
in which case, for people like Adam Pearce and all that, it's been a lucky escape. But anyway.
Well, Jay Bradley's doing decent for now, but then again, we said the same thing about Christian York, and look where that went. Although, I think Jay Bradley has some upside to him. He's a pretty good talker, too. I'm surprised, having seen some of this stuff in Resistance Pro and some other stuff from older stuff in the Indies, I'm surprised WWE didn't do anything with him when he did have his brief time on TV. But hey, shit happens sometimes. You can't always be the champion. It's pretty nice to be able to say you were on SmackDown. But nonetheless.
Anyway, back to the women.
Back to the women. Hey, Dave. Back to the women. Oh, wrong.
See, back on track.
I mean, Miss April and some fitness model. Anyway.
Hey, Pinky's in the air, dammit.
Oh, well, we'll be seeing another. Taylor Made won't be in the tournament now since Allison Kay is in it.
Yeah, she stepped out because AK-47's getting disrespected.
Although she clearly violated. Well, no, let me not get into the K-5. And
there's an interesting replacement, though, which we will get to in the third segment. Very interesting, but.
Mean Smart Mark Video, K5, you see this stuff.
But the tournament itself, the way it seems to be building up, has been very interesting. You've seen quite a few surprise results. Like, I really didn't expect Mercedes to get knocked out in the first round by, who was it? Mia Yim, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was thinking Mercedes was winning, too. She seemed like a strong favorite, especially with how she's been prominently featured on Shine, especially with her feud with Jazz. But ever since Valkyrie took over, she's kind of taken a I don't want to say necessarily a downgrade, because she's still a top star in Shine, but, kind of maybe a downward spiral in a way. I think might be a better way to say it somewhat.
Yeah. But arguably the toughest route through has actually been for Jessica Havoc.
Yeah.
Because in order to get through the first round, she had to beat Madison Eagles, former Shimmer champion.
Awesome. And
then she had to put that spot in the tournament online against Portia Perez after they went on a huge social media war, which she came for as well. So, and she hasn't got a very easy match in there. I guess it's the quarterfinals, isn't it? Or is it the semis? No, it's the quarters. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the quarterfinals.
But as I say, we'll get to that as well. But even, you know, for me, Havoc's really been the one talent to watch in women's wrestling at the minute. Okay, she's done some stuff in CZW, which we'll get to, but she's WSU champion. She's been having quite a bit of good showings in Shine, and ever since the pay-per-view Shimmer show from WrestleMania weekend, she's also been a part of Shimmer as well. Yeah, she wasn't just in Shimmer 53, wasn't she? She was in the tapings that happened a few weeks afterwards, wasn't she?
Yeah, she has a full-blown feud with Serena Deeb in it. Well,
yeah.
It's not really that much of a spoiler considering the events of Shimmer 53, but if it wasn't, I'm sorry, I guess.
Never be sorry.
Never be sorry. Never apologize.
Never compromise, never apologize. There you go. Shikara was good for one thing. So, I'm trying to think. I mean, one of the matches that does stand out. Yeah, one of the matches, though, that does stand out is the cage match from Shimmer 53, where cheerleader Melissa finally got the belt off Soraya Knight, who, of course, was really happy about it and tried to kill. Didn't she nearly kill one fan?
Right.
The fan sold it like death, that's all I remember.
Who, Soraya or Melissa?
Soraya.
Oh, the one she slapped?
Yeah.
I remember she slapped the shit out of Kevin Harvey.
And was that who it was? I can't
remember.
Yeah,
the We Are, the We Are, the We Here manager.
They sold it like death, that's all I know. I'm just trying to think. Obviously, you had new tag champions crowned in Chazza McKenzie, and I can't remember who the other, her partner was.
Leda Scott?
And Shimmer.
You're thinking the other Australian Shimmer tag champs? The global green gangsters, Kelly Skater and Tomika Nakagawa.
Ah, that's the one. Kelly Skater.
Chazza McKenzie teams up with.
There's too many Australians in, you know, even got Emma in bloody NXT.
There's
too many Australians.
Okay, well, if you count them, that would have been, what, five Australians at one time? But there's four. McKay, Jesse McKay, Madison Eagles, Chazza McKenzie, and Kelly Skater. And if Evie was at the tapings, I guess she counts, but she's a Kiwi. Or
she's Antipodean. Antipodean, there you go.
She's from New Zealand. Kiwi. Pretty good wrestler too.
Definitely. Now I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything else I can hugely mention from that, but your guys' thoughts.
This side tournament's been turned out pretty interesting. A lot of twists and turns we've been seeing here, as you mentioned before. Also, it makes you wonder, like, a lot of the people that you didn't think you might see in the tournament due to them losing might now be in the tournament now. Like, we had to have Jazz bow out at one point. Of course, Allison Kay lost its suspension, is also in Japan. I mentioned Taylor Made just right now. We have Havoc's deal. Possibly Porsche Perez gets back in. Who knows with this? It could just go any way. Now, there's a lot. It's hard to say who our favorites will be, but we'll probably get into that into our predictions later. But this isn't the only tournament that has been happening since we've had the little ROH tournament that has now happened due to the vacated title.
Yeah, but this is about women's
wrestling. I know. I'm sorry. I always like
damn it.
Get to it. But
stop derailing the train. We had it going.
Well, I kind of lost the point there, so it was like, I guess tournament, but nonetheless.
No, but what about what you've seen from WSU?
Oh, okay.
Well?
Yeah, sorry. The other women's companies. Keep getting this. WSU, we've had Ultraviolet Affair, which was a lot better than the Full Steam Ahead show. No offense really to that show. I'm not really a person who likes to shit on shows, just because that's not how I am. It's not that bad of a show. There was some stuff. Was it the best first taste of WSU, I'll say. But nonetheless, Ultraviolet Affair got me a little bit more invested in WSU, I must say. Lufisto and Mercedes Martinez had a really good knockdown, drag-out brawl that went 30-minute time limit at that, too. And we also had the Queen and King of the Ring tournament, which was a pretty damn good tournament, even though it led to the injury that Masada has been having as of late and what might lead to possibly him losing the CZW world title, but we'll also get into that in predictions with New Heights. And Havoc's been running shit. Well, the Midwest Militia both have been running shit. They both hold the WSU and WSU tag titles, so almost no end in sight, really, for the Midwest Militia, but it looked like it with Lufisto, who did gain a victory over Havoc later in the year I think it might have been at 14th Anniversary Show, the show that would be the that would that Ultraviolet Affair preceded on February 9th. Uh-huh. And Athena AR Fox won King and Queen Ring tournament meeting like in Kimberly. And that's really about it with WSU. Also Chris Dickinson forced Addie Starr to kiss his ass after hitting the Brain Eater on her. There was that. But we'll kind of forget that happened. Not that it was really bad in the... I don't know, it just felt kind of wrong for some reason. But that was more than likely the intent. And yeah, that's really about it, I could say, with WSU. Then we have their next show coming up, which is the anniversary show, I believe.
In August, yeah.
Okay, so we'll see them there. And with Shimmer, we haven't really heard much other than the tapings and Shimmer 53. Shimmer 53, which I mentioned on many occasions, especially when referring to iPay-Per-View, did not have any problems at all compared to all of the other shows at WrestleCon.
The only problem that it had was it started a bit late.
Yeah, and that's more on... what I was trying to say. Anyway, Shimmer 53 was a great success, and we had the Shimmer tapings, which would also be the final tapings for House in Danger, who explained why she had to leave wrestling, which was pretty crazy when you did find out about it, and glad she did for the better of her health. So
yeah. But she'll be still making a huge contribution backstage, definitely.
And we also saw cheerleader Melissa go back to the dark side a bit
That's one thing we can say about Randy's got his internet back, but its stability is still all over the place. Sandro, your thoughts quickly.
WSU had an interesting first show back in February. It was a good show. I'd probably recommend those if we're interested in seeing Beta Sky getting a permanent. Havoc is still their world champion, doing a good job. Saw a couple of good matches there. Lufisto and Mercedes Martinez was a damn good hardcore match. He was going all over the building that night. Queen and King of the Ring Tag Tournament was a pretty damn good show. Of course, the main event was definitely one of the matches of the night. So far, WSU is doing a good job, and with their upcoming show coming up next month. And I'm pretty sure they'll put out some good matches. Media grade for them. I'll give them a B. They're pretty good. Shimmer have been having a stellar set of matches. Of course, one of the big shows happened at WrestleCon this year, Shimmer 53. A lot of good matches there and great talent as well. The main event was good for what it was. We saw the loss of Saraya Knight losing her Shimmer title to Chila and Melissa. Doing pretty good, and based off the spoilers for their for the taping that they had a few weeks ago, appears that she's the heel, if I'm not mistaken. And we also saw the farewell for one Allison Danger, I almost forgot her name there, retiring from wrestling for personal reasons. And I thought she left a good mark in Shimmer, had a pretty good career there. And interesting to see where Leva Bates goes from here as far as the singles competitor in Shimmer. They had really great matches, bringing in a lot of international talent, mostly Japanese women coming in and doing a pretty damn good job. You know, you have Hamada, Kana, and you know everybody else that came in. Looking forward for the upcoming shows once it gets released on DVD or video on demand or wherever. Looking forward to see those shows. I as far as a grade for their mid year, I'll probably give them a B+. Shine, what can you say about them? They've been having a really good year over the last several. Over the last first 6 months, putting on great shows and great matches as well. Of course, the big thing for the first 6 months is the title tournament, which will be coming to a close this weekend. And we've been having a lot of great matches there. Of course, you said Jessica Havoc is one of the top people in the Shine promotion. Of course, you could forget the big feud between Kimberly and Leva Bates. Just fantastic set of matches that they've been having. Of course, Leva Bates getting the win on that feud. And so far, she's been doing pretty good for herself as a singles competitor in Shine. Kimberly has been doing pretty good as well, even though she lost the feud. I like her persona in the promotion. She's been doing very well. Of course, another standout in the Shine promotion, you have Santana, who has been getting very popular and winning a lot of her matches. I don't think she has lost a one-on-one match, although I'm pretty sure she did lose a six women tag match, if I'm not mistaken. It was against Team Ozzy a few shows ago, if I'm not mistaken. But she's doing pretty good. They also gave out a lot of opportunities for upcoming women's wrestlers in Shine. Great for them. I probably have to give them an A just for the great set of shows they've been putting out and great matches. You know, I can't give anything negative about Shine. They've been doing very well.
Yeah, I haven't really got time to give grades because I'm trying to get through the segment as relatively quickly as we can, but
Shine, the number
I probably
one,
agree with you.
Shine, the number one promotion for WWN Live.
Wait, true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
But I would definitely agree with you on the grade, Sandra. That's probably about fair. It's certainly, overall, it's been a very strong half year for women's wrestling so far, and with the October Shimmer tapings, the Shine shows, and at least two or three more WSU shows coming. I'm looking forward to see what's coming from them next. Of course, with WSU, you'll probably see quite a lot of cross-promotion with CZW as well. And going into CZW now, it's really been kind of an eye-opener for me, because obviously this is going to be my first full year of seeing CZW. And yes, they have had some crazy moments this year, like you'd expect them to, because of the CZW name, like Tournament of Death, but it always is like that. And Yung Kasai versus Masada, but then when you put them in the sort of match that they did have for that, with the light tubes and everything, you were going to expect something bloody insane to happen, which of course did. But yeah, Masada, obviously, he's been champion for over a year now, roughly.
Yeah, it's going on 2 years pretty soon, like starting in March. Well, let me see. That's 16 months. Yeah, he's held the belt for 16 months now.
Yeah. Obviously, he looks to be, given that he's working injured and everything, that title looks to be possibly in danger this coming weekend, but we'll get to that in the third segment. But it's, overall, it's been actually a pretty strong year, because it's really showcased not only how much the CZW stuff isn't just about violence now, it's got quite a lot of women's wrestling in it now because of the partnership with WSU. It's got more, arguably more high flyers now. It's more of a, I guess it's, I wouldn't say it's Shikara, but it's got the Shikara style of aerial acrobatics now. What with AR Fox, Shane Strickland, Nation of Intoxication, all those kind of guys. It's not just about the people that bleed for blood the sake kind of thing. Case in point, obviously, is Sami Callihan, who's headed off to Florida to start training. And the way they did that segment as well with the feud with DJ Hyde was pretty cool. Even like the comedic spot that happened at Tournament of Death, it kind of was interesting that, well, I guess Tournament of Death was his last pay-per-view appearance, because he did appear on the 2CW show, but that wasn't broadcast, was it? It was just a live event, so.
Mm-hmm. But a fan cam video showed obvious of his match with RVD.
And obviously, there is quite a lot of significance with Callihan and CZW because of the whole Moxley affair and the, was it Switchblade Conspiracies?
Yeah.
Was that their tag name, or was that just their entrance
music? No, that was their tag name. Their entrance music was Seagulled over Rhinoceros Bay Part 2 by Foxy Suzanne. But yeah, and Callihan had started in ZZW back in 08, and he actually brought Moxley in back in 09 to beat Brain Damage for the Iron Man title, which he would later rename the New Horror title, which he would then lose to Egotisco Fantastico at Best of the Best in 09. And then Jon Moxley would end up being the one to break out, really, out of the Switchblades, beating B-Boy for the CZW World title just 1 week after, or actually just 2 weeks, I believe, after B-Boy had ended Drake Younger's reign as the longest CZW World Champion ever at the 13th anniversary, no, 12th anniversary show. Back in, no, excuse me, 11th anniversary show back in 2010. Go back a few years on that, but yeah. And then from there, and then now we have Callihan leaving the company, of course. And awesome. Who knows, maybe if another S.H.I.E.L.D. member, although I highly doubt it, could he just be coming up, but.
Even the feud with the Cole in the bag of shit was kind of fun.
Yeah. It's always nice to see Callihan and Cole feud, because they had such a nice feud with, at starting off with their final with the match after the finals for Best of the Best. Which, a little known fact, if you've seen the Kevin Steen show with Adam Cole, is really the Adam Cole feud with Ty Hagen was supposed to continue, I believe.
But just the reaction that the match got, which was a really damn good match, Callahan and Cole, ended up becoming Callahan Cole instead. Which, if you had watched CZW at the time, it would have made more sense for Cole to still be feuding with Hagen, considering they had broken up the team had broken up over Cole winning the title. But hey, you kind of go with that, and then Ty Hagen doesn't really wrestle as much now, sadly. But sometimes that happens.
But one thing that also could be said is, I know when we were talking about it at the year-end review, we were really talking about seemingly the lack of tag teams. Because all there really was Four Loko and Nation of Intoxication. That was it. Because the others had gone their separate ways, or one of the members had to retire and various things like that. But in the past 6 months, you've seen quite a few teams certainly come into contention. Campaign for Better Combat Zone seems to be getting quite a bit of momentum now. The Catalyst, who I think were champions, and Blackout, who are the current champions. You've got quite a... You've actually had quite a few more tag teams now, which it seems like that's always important. The reason you have tag team titles is you actually have a division where there's multiple people who can win it, not just a couple of teams. So I think in that essence, CZW's definitely improved this year.
I think with the tag titles, what kind of like hurt that was, it was just like they had tag, like the campaign was still around and you still kind of had the Chris, but a lot of them were kind of starting to form, and it was really only just, as you said, like Nation of Intoxication or Loco, and pretty much Ezra and Bandito, but they would be being with Cologne and Rivera at the same time. Because Ezra and Bandito held the belt for, I think, 9 months at one point, and when I get it, pretty much held the belt for the year.
Uh-oh, Randy's broken up again. Randy, reverse the polarity of the neutron flow and hopefully everyone can get it sorted. But Sandro, quick thoughts.
I was surprised you're going to leave that in, but ZZW has a pretty, I would say pretty good first 6 months for the year. Of course, you had that tag team scene where a lot of tag teams were coming out. You had the catalyst of Dustin Reyes and Eric Ryan, who started back in January and I believe got the belt at the 14th anniversary show in that, I think it was a four-way match, if I'm not mistaken. But then you had Blackout coming back and stealing the belts and it running was, away from the building. So, you know, at least there were more tag teams, so that was a good thing. You had that pretty good feud with Sami Callihan and Adam Cole, which ended at the Best of the Best back in April. And they have a really good series of matches there. You had Masada, who was still dominant as the world champ. Of course, having that crazy match at the 40th anniversary show with Christina Von Eri, which was more, I guess, brutal than what I had expected. It was pretty crazy. I'll say that right now.
Yeah. With Yun Kasai, you expect something like that. But with Von Eri, the kind of stuff that she put herself through was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I'll give her credit to that because I really was not expecting her to take those bumps that she did. But yeah, speaking of WrestleCon, that crazy match he had with Jun Kasai, which is a damn shame that it had to end early due to the bad cut that Kasai had on the side of his face, which resulted in ending the match early. You know, it was a damn shame that it had to end early, but at least Jun Kasai returned to the States, so that was somewhat of a good thing there. Alex Colon winning this year's Best of the Best, which really nobody expected to see, but he did win. And he's getting, I guess, opportunities elsewhere, starting to debut with AAW last month in Chicago. Well, not next month. Not last month. Excuse me. Last week. Sorry. We had a couple of debuts in DCW. We had the former Chiva Kid, Andrew Everett, making his debut for the promotion. We had Shane Hollister debuting alongside with one Scarlett Bordeaux.
Although she disappeared.
Yeah, that's kind of true. That was kind of weird. But anyways, we also had saw Shane Strickland getting more of an opportunity in DDW, started to make a name for himself there. He even started to get more opportunities elsewhere. So that was good for him. Of course, you had AR Fox, still the reigning and defending Wire TV champion, putting out a couple of good matches for the first 6 months. And of course, you had the feud with The Front and the Campaign for a Better Combat Zone, which is I did enjoy the storyline for how it started. I thought it was pretty good to how Gulak pretty much owes The Front money, and then it builds off the feud from there. They had a pretty good set of matches there. Of course, the feud with one Matt Tremont and Joe Gacy, of course, started off pretty bloody, and they were supposed to have the match at the Tournament of Death, but then they said they both backed out due to personal reasons, but then Joe Gacy showed up, and then I don't know what happened, but I'm pretty sure the feud continues for the upcoming shows. So far, they've been doing pretty good. My grade for their first 6 months, I'd probably give them a B.
Yeah, I'd probably say, well, I might actually say B plus, because it's probably compared to the last 6 months of last year, this first 6 months has been, overall for me, more enjoyable and better to watch. Randy?
CZW's been pretty interesting this year, these 6 months you mentioned. With Tournament of Death, had a lot of interesting things going on there. Tremont Gacy, that did happen because Tremont didn't compete due to, I think it was his liver. I forgot what the exact reason was. It ended up being cleared, but he wouldn't be cleared enough in time to wrestle for it.
Yeah, it was Tremont's blood work, yeah.
And a lot of people were thinking it was like hepatitis or something like that, but nah, he was, which was not the case regardless of the line of work. To do favorite. Also, we had a few you forgot to mention, or unless I missed it, the Nat Town Dragons and Nation of Intoxication. Well, now the Nat Town Dragons, it's Scotty Vortex making a turn from his second retirement.
Yeah, of course, and then Nat Town Dragons back after.
And what?
What show was it?
Proving Grounds. Yeah, Proving Grounds.
Yeah, the one before Torment Death.
It was Proving Ground. We mentioned Best of the Best. You mentioned Hollister. What else happened? Yeah, Catalyst winning the belt and then never really holding on to him and then losing to Blackout. Although
the guys that stole
him. The guys who stole him in the first place, Blackout. Actually, the ones who actually led them to winning the titles inadvertently just as much, Blackout, and they'll have their match at. Oh, we'll talk about that a little later. We also had Alex Reynolds made a few appearances there. Didn't do too bad. He was pretty good. And also tag teamed with John Silver as part of the Beaver Boys, who you might be seeing them in a future ROH TV episode. Might have already aired, possibly. Let me see. Also, one thing I wanted to go back to with the Nat Town Dragons Nation Intoxication feud, it's kind of interesting in that from what it seems, both teams are still kind of faces, even though they're both acting heelish to each other in a way, I guess. So it's kind of like, do you see one as faces, one as heel, or what do y'all kind of think on that? Especially what happened at Tournament of Death with Lucky getting that nasty cut on him, and then during the finals, Scotty Vortex hitting Lucky's girlfriend with the thumbtack bat, I think.
From the way they seem to be angling it, perhaps they're trying to make the nation heelish because of Connolly's. Oh no, Connolly's part of Four Loko, isn't he? Yeah. So they've kind of shown partial heelish tendencies more than they have for the Naptown Dragons, but due to circumstances, it really depends to what happens this weekend, reaction-wise.
Yes, because, like, even at Tournament of Death, they were still getting cheered. Nobody's really been getting booed in this feud. It's still... And the only people who would, like, in this case only, you can't really boo Younger because Lucky was all being a drunk ass in the ring and spit the beer at him when he was all sober. And then Havoc was all drunk, so went Younger. But then Younger took it all harsh or whatever, probably should have just brushed it off. And then you have Vortex coming back, and then Moore's kind of stuck in the middle. Then Vortex kind of upping up the ante by attacking Lucky's girlfriend. So, well, I will have to see with that. That's one thing that I found pretty, and it's going to be interesting because it seems like this might be the Tangled Web match, but... Since Drake Younger doesn't do death matches anymore, who would team with Vortex? Or, guess what? That's what you'll find out for that one. But then, my grade for CZW will be. I'm going to go with a B. It's been pretty good so far. Nothing hasn't really blown my mind. So they've had a pretty solid year, though, nonetheless. And a lot of people, Christina Von Erie stepping up at 14th anniversary, as I'll mention before. Although I would like to see Havoc in a bit more of a prominent role, because I think she hasn't won a match at CZW, yet she's lost every one. And she lost to Nevaeh, was the DQ, and then losing in the intergender tag at 14th anniversary.
Yeah, so... That's all for this week's review. There may be some next week, there may not. Obviously it depends on whether L-Train can make it, so just keep an eye on the description of this show next week or whatever, or the write-up that we do before we go recording as to what's going on. We may put it up on the write-up anyway, just in case. If you guys want to put an opinion on the Facebook page about whatever we're going to talk about, if we do, and if not, we can keep it and hold it back for the following week and use it there. But when we come back, final segment is, I guess, picks and previews, because I don't think we're going to do picks on the Ring of Honor live events, guys, but we're certainly probably going to go through them and discuss them. Mainly because Night of Hoopla has already happened. Hoopla. And I want to talk about that. Even though it's in the past tense, it's Night of Hoopla with Truth Martini. Come on. I mean, Delirious is wrestling. That's what matters. And then also you've got CZW's iPay-Per-View and also Shine's iPay-Per-View this weekend as well. And also... Another interesting event that I'm going to mention this week, but also mention next week, coming up, being organized by CZW for Masada. If you want to know what that's about, keep it here for the final segment of this week's whole indie show on the SNS Radio Network. See you in a few. Bad things to happen to you, I won't.
Hey, wrestling fans, Do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mind Wipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
What is up, my SNS peeps? I am the Sensational Sequel, Sean.
And Ashley, too. Yes, it's still my name. I haven't changed it yet.
We have this really cool show on the SNS Radio Network. It's called The Open Book. We cover wrestling. We also cover all the biggest gaming news and game reviews.
Plus, we've got the latest from the world of film entertainment.
This is The Open Book. Catch us every week right here at the SNS Radio Network.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I caught Skip Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksandHeadlines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me, it's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fati.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Following his Grammy-worthy performance on Raw, WWE Music Group is pleased to bring you Ali Sings the Hits.
Sexy boy!
Revel and relax as the Punjabi Playboy takes you on a musical journey through the music of yesteryear.
Hit me with your best shot. Why not hit me best shot? You don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need a credit card at this train.
He may not have won a Grammy, but with this collection, he's sure to win your heart.
Every road you have is strong. Every cowboy sings sad, sad song. I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Sexy, it hurts.
Kali Sings the Hits is not available in stores or anywhere else, including WWEshop.com.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Whole Indie Show with Sandro, Randy, and Ashley. And I think before we actually do get into talking picks and previews, there was one story that I missed because it was more of a video, really, than a story. And this is... It was an interview that... Was it an interview that Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards did?
Yes, for Mexican TV.
Where they pretty much said they're in talks, or... Was it in talks or signed a deal with WWE?
They're in talks.
Davey said that we're in talks with WWE and TNA.
Oh, and TNA as well, yeah. I remember now, yeah. The reason why I probably forgot to put that in the news, because I think this is just him trying to wrangle a better contract out of Ring of Honor? And if not, he'll leave the business of wrestling and just do his training school thing and his mixed martial arts. Personally.
Well, he said he wanted to become a fighter after retirement, so maybe he'll do that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear that also Eddie Edwards is also supposedly wanted to leave as well. I think that's interesting as well. But we'll see what happens. You could be right. Maybe Davey is trying to fool the IWC with saying those comments, even though it was on international television. But he probably knew this because he probably was aware that
he knew somebody the show would stick it on YouTube.
Well, the show that they were on, they always put the shows on YouTube. So he was probably aware that since the show's going to be online, he's like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll just fuck around with the fans. Say, hey, I'm in talks with WWE TNA.
But if it is a true statement and both are interested in leaving, it really shakes up Ring of Honor even more. Mm-hmm. With the fact that they do seem to be losing talent, which kind of Travis's comments last week kind of puts it into more perspective. So I think the fact that we've left Ring of Honor for a few weeks and let it stir and seen everything happen around us, perhaps we might need to go back to Travis's point when we covered the half-year review of Ring of Honor, because it does look to be possibly, if it is true, leaving ROH in not a great shape, possibly. But anyway, now on to previews first. First thing it's worth mentioning is Main Event Wrestling in California will be having the California Cup on Sunday, July the 14th at 7 p.m. I think I've got a list of where it actually is. Which is not great for you people out there. Sorry. But what it does say is it's an 8-man single elimination tournament featuring the top independent wrestlers in the US. The tournament started in July 2011. Featuring a showdown of the best Northern California talent taking on the best Southern California. The finals of that year tournament saw Brian Cage faced TJ Perkins, which Brian Cage won. In 2012, it saw a heated rivalry emerge as Cage tried to defend his cup against Jerry Ryan. It was at the previous year's cup that they met in the second round, and Cage walked away with the victory, but the win was with some controversy as the top ring rope broke in the match. In the 2012 tournament, Ryan got his chance for revenge against Cage, this time in the actual final of the tournament. Again, there was controversy as Ryan walked away the winner, but by less than honest means. So for the tournament, the first round we'll see TJ Perkins take on Timothy Thatcher, Nick Jackson take on Drake Younger, Matt Jackson take on Adam Fornstow, who, for those of you who remember, is the quintessential pro wrestling champion, and Brian Cage will be taking on some guy called Johnny Gargano, which that's an interesting, certainly it's an interesting lineup of matches. And also, I don't know how well TJ Perkins is going to do, since he's apparently Manic in TNA for some reason. Why they changed that name I still don't know, but anyway, there will also be a pre-show starting at 7 featuring an open invitational fray and an exciting women's match with the lovely Lucky O'Shea. Tickets are apparently $20 at the door, and $5 from every ticket goes to the Selma Animal Shelter. It's on our Facebook page. I will try and get the address of it and post it in the comments beneath the posting, so you know where it is. Because the information that I've got here doesn't give it to me. It's a bit awkward. But next on the preview side, it's time to talk Hoopla, people. The Night of Hoopla, which happened this past Thursday on Bourbon Street in Marionette Park, Illinois, which had the in-ring debut of Cheeseburger, who, for those of you who remember, is basically the young black kid. Not to be racist or anything, but that's what he is. He's the rookie, I guess, getting his opportunity. There's going to be a six-person mixed tag match as Michael Elgin, BJ Whitmer, and Mischief take on ACH, Tadarius Thomas, and Athena. That's going to be an interesting match. Jimmy Jacobs will be performing his new single, Gypsy Soul. Jay Lethal versus Delirious with Maria Kanellis as the special guest referee.
I was going to say, have you heard any of Jimmy songs, like the Ballad of Lacey? I believe one was Kiss to Kill. I want to say there was another one.
They're not too bad songs. I've heard worse.
There'd be, although that's pretty much what it's supposed to be. But he has some singing talent.
Yeah.
So does Scarlett Bordeaux. I did not know she could sing, which is another thing we like about her that's not necessarily her look. Not that that's a bad thing.
Uh-oh.
Well, she has talent. It goes a long way than just having a pretty face. That's her nice body, as we've seen in AAW and especially in Ring of Honor with this Hoopla. I gotta say, the Hoopla roles they've been having are some of the funniest stuff I've seen from ROH in a while, since maybe like Sweet and Sour. It's probably been funnier since then. The Sweet and Sour stuff would be funny. But the Hoopla stuff has been pretty interesting. And then the reunion that he had with Roderick Strong downing, 30 beers? Who knows how many beers?
Too many beers.
Joe Costa flat out denying it.
It's an interesting main event, though, for the Hoopla show. It's a three-way match for the Ring of Honor TV title. It's Matt Taven defends against Adam Cole and Eddie Edwards. Not that I'm giving picks, but I could sense some sort of upset here. And either Cole or Edwards will walk out with that TV title. I just think it could happen, because I'm looking at the matches scheduled on the other two nights of Ring of Honor, just to quickly have a look, see if he's
let me just say this as you check. This show, I'm actually interested in watching once the, DVD or a VOD version comes out. It has potential to be an interesting show. I'm actually interested in watching the show. So I'm looking forward to see how they do.
This is one that, although it has no business being an iPay-per-view, this would be an interesting little kind of thing to watch, kind of something a little different from ROH. ROH not being super serious all the time.
I mean, seriously, if this were to go iPay-per-view, that's the thing. If this were to go iPay-per-view with the Hoopla Hotties and Maria and everything, TNA would lose. Despite the fact they have gonna have a very interesting match between Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell. Which, by the way, people, if you haven't seen, try and catch on demand. Or somewhere, because it's a pretty damn good match. But and it's now Friday for Ring of Honor. They're going to have a show in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Turner Hall Ballroom with 7:30 p.m. start time. Nigel McGuinness will be doing a special pre-event Q&A session with the fans, and the team of Adrenaline Rush, ACH, and Tadarius Thomas will be appearing. But you're going to have also a Women of Honor match with Athena taking on Mischief. A Best in the World rematch with BJ Whitmer taking on Mike Bennett. A couple of special challenge matches as Rhino takes on Tommaso Ciampa. And Kevin Steen takes on Silas Young. Then singles action with the American Wolves and Red Dragon taking on one another. Davey Richards taking on Bobby Fish. And Eddie Edwards taking on Kyle O'Reilly. And then what seemingly is the main event, a four-corner survival non-title match with Matt Taven, Jay Lethal, Adam Cole, and Michael Elgin, who I think all four are, I think, in the hunt for the world title. So it's a good push. It's a good push there, certainly, for that. And Saturday, their live show at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center in Dearborn, Michigan. Slated to appear as Silas Young, Mischief, and Tommaso Ciampa, but confirmed matches. You got BJ Whitmer versus Adam Cole. Bobby Fish taking on ACH and Kyle O'Reilly taking on Tadarius Thomas. So this time Red Dragon will be in singles competition against the Adrenaline Rush guys. A non-title match with Steen taking on Matt Taven. And the main event, what's being billed as a dream tag team match, it probably is. The American Wolves of Davey Richards and Die Hard Eddie Edwards taking on Unbreakable Michael Elgin and That Man Jay Lethal. And that apparently also will be featuring a Q&A with McGuinness before the show.
Yeah, well, me personally, I don't consider it a dream match, but that's just me.
Your dream match is you versus Allison Kay.
Oh, you like
mine joke, is man, like mine is me versus Scarlett Bordeaux. And Randy's is Randy versus somebody that I don't know. Do you want to insert a name there, Randy?
Inserting here for now.
He doesn't even know. So much dramatic tension there. But it's a good list of shows anyway for Ring of Honor this weekend. So if you're in the local area, try and catch them. But now to turn to the two big ones, and the only reason they're big is because they've also got iPay-per-views with them. Starting off with CZW. Their New Heights pay-per-view from the Flyer Skate Zone, as ever, in Voorhees, New Jersey. Starting off with the picks here, guys, with a six-way dance where the winner gets a title shot of their choosing. It will be Dark Sheik versus Caleb Conley versus Dave Crist versus Shane Hollister versus Ron Mathis versus Rory Mondo. They could angle this one of two ways. Shane Hollister gets it and probably goes for the Wired title that AR Fox has. Or Crist wins it so he can use it to get a rematch or to try and get at the tag titles with Jake. I think I'll say Hollister, though.
This is interesting considering who all you have in this and what might be taken for. Dark Sheik probably won't, although it's going to be interesting to see what Dark Sheik can bring. I've
might have heard the name once or twice. Apparently, he wrestles for Hood Slam, which does a lot of their stuff in California. I think Maverick knows a lot about them, so you can ask him about that. Maybe we should bring him on. Maybe ask about Dark Secret. Hopefully, he's listening. You can answer it for us on there. I would go with Hollister here, although I don't really see. The Wire title seems like the logical title, but I think Fox and Cologne is going to be juicy for a little more, especially considering Cologne has a non-title during the session.
Yeah. Sandra?
Interesting match here. I'm going to say Shane Hollister wins, and I'm going to agree with what you said, Ash. I think he's going to challenge Fox for his Wire title. But I wouldn't be surprised if he would try to challenge for the ZCW title, whoever it is. And I say this because I'm pretty sure he'll try to mention that since, you know, he's the a world champion in AAW, he's going to go for the ZCW world champion. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he attempts to go after the world title. So, I'm going to say Hollister wins.
Okay, next up. Interesting set of matches here as the Wire TV champion AR Fox and Four Locos Alex Colon have selected each other's opponents. First up, Alex Colon will be taking on Shane Strickland. For this one, I think Cologne's probably going to go over.
Thank God, Alex Cologne.
I'm going to say Alex Cologne. Keep him strong.
Yeah. And the other match, we'll see AR Fox versus Biff Busick of the Front. I think this one, there could be some interference. I'm actually going to say Biff Busick might get the win here, actually. Thanks to shenanigans and all that.
I do see shenanigans playing into it, but I still think
So that's AR Fox, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Sandra?
This should be an interesting match, to say the least. I do agree that I see the Front interfering in the match, but I think AR Fox is still going to get the win.
Okay. Next up, Greg Excellent versus Andrew Everett. I really don't understand the purpose of Greg Excellent, to be quite honest. And I think Andrew Everett seems to be getting quite a bit of a push now. So I'm actually going to say Andrew Everett gets the win here.
Greg Excellent has, I think he's won all those matches potentially this year. Or he's beat Colt Cabana at WrestleCon. It's Tracy Smothers back at Proving Ground, yeah.
Yeah, but beating Tracy Smothers is an achievement.
So what does that mean for Was it Hot Young? I shouldn't even call him that. But did Briley Pierce and Smothers at Absolution? I remember watching the match, but I forgot.
Smothers lost.
Yeah, that's what
Smothers got pinned by by Gary J.
Oh, okay, he's not far now. On the topic without much derail here, without being A-Train there. Well, this A-Train. And speaking of A-Train, just go with the guy who has A in his name, Andrew Everett. So we'll go with Andrew Everett here. And it'd be nice to see him get a win, since he's been impressive in pretty much every match he's been in, or at least shown what he can do.
Yeah. Sandra, your pick?
Well, first off, I don't understand why we're having this match in the first place.
See?
But I do understand why Greg Excellent is there. He's the, you know, he's a comedy guy of the promotion. But I'm going to say Chiba Kid gets the win. Andrew Everett.
Next up, tag team match comprising of Four Loko of Azrael and Bandido Jr. taking on the Beaver Boys of John Silver and Alex Reynolds. I think he could have a bit of a huge upset here and have the Beaver Boys go over somehow. I'm going to say the Beaver Boys.
The Beaver Boys had a pretty impressive debut, or, well, this case was a debut for Silver, but as a team, a pretty impressive debut in their tag title challenge against Blackout. So, you know what, I'll go with you there. I'm going to say the Beaver Boys get the win.
Yeah, I'm going to say John Silver and Alex Reynolds is going to win as well.
Okay. Next up, a tables match. As Devin Moore of the Nation of Intoxication takes on Scotty Vortex of the Naptown Dragons. This is probably going to be a pretty damn good match. I think for this one, Scotty Vortex, I think, is going to win. Didn't they win the... Who won the Tournament of Deathmatch between Moore and Younger? Was it Moore?
Yeah, it was Devin Moore.
Yeah. Okay, if that's the case, I think Vortex will win the tables match.
That's not how I'm going to say why Vortex is going to win. I am going to say it's because the Havoc beat him in the finals. But this should be an interesting match considering what I mentioned in the last segment about how we might figure out who's a bit more on the dark side of things, so to say, or who's not so nice to, who to root for and who to boo for, I guess. Who we like, who we don't. And we'll definitely find out here in this tables match. And to be a bit more redundant, Scotty Vortex.
Sander?
I'm gonna say Devin Moore's gonna win.
Okay, next up, the number one contenders match for the CZW World Title is Drew Gulak taking on Tommy Dreamer. It really depends on what happens. Just because I think that'd be an interesting combination if it did happen, I'm going to say the winner will be Drew Gulak.
It's a triple threat now. I think it's in Gulak and Masada.
I don't think it is. It's just to be the number one contender because obviously the match is later on in the night.
Okay. The Warren mentioned the AEW owner mentioning due to Chris Dickinson no showing Absolution, go job to Masada, and a friend to Dickinson not going to it. Which, that can be taken for exactly what that means. Regardless, I was going to say Chris Dickinson will win that match.
Okay, that's a bit confusing because you've just done the pick for the main event.
Okay. Okay, who was it?
It's Dreamer versus Gulak.
Dreamer.
The number one contendership.
Oh, man.
I was asking you Dickinson versus, and then you just kind of left me astray. Oh, well. We all fucked up in this one. Drew Gulak.
Yeah, god damn it.
I'm like, what the hell? I was asking, was it a triple fair? Okay.
No, what I was wondering whether it was like, I thought you meant whoever won it would go into like the main event.
No. I thought, buzzing out when I heard you say the match name, so.
Well, considering you said, considering you've already committed that Dickinson will win, who do you think he'll face then at the next show? Will it be Drew?
Okay.
Will it be Gulak?
I think at the next show, which would be Tangled Web, I think he will face Drew Gulak.
The campaign. Civil War.
Yeah.
Sandra?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet, and I'm going to say Drew Gulak's going to win.
Considering Randy's already given his pick, I might as well put this one in here now. The main event, which we're actually going to say before the co-main event, it's a bit awkward. Masada taking on Chris Dickinson, and I have it pretty much as Randy's calling it as well. I think you're going to have a civil war in the combat zone between Dickinson and Gulak for that world title next month. Will it be a tangled web match, or...?
Probably not, considering the tangled web is essentially kind of how Cage of Death is used. Usually the feud ender, or usually the case. Like, actually, it always has been.
So, in essence, what tangled web could be used for is something like Fox versus Colon, or Naptown Dragons versus the Nation of Intoxication.
That's the one I see that's going to end up with Tangled Web, especially considering that Vortex has competed in one before. Actually, competed in two of them. And more in Havoc Heaven as of yet. Because it won't be Fox Cologne. There's no really heat needed. No heat needed. There's no big enough heat from it. Tremont Gacy, maybe, but... if anything, I could see them doing maybe like some weird kind of six-man if they were involved, because I don't see them really getting it on their own. But more than likely, it's going to be Naptown Dragons and Nation Intoxication.
Sandra, your thoughts on Masada Dickinson?
I want to say Masada, but he's still injured and he's waiting to get his knee surgery and everything. So I guess the logical choice will have to be Chris Dickinson, even though I don't think he's ready for it, but it seems like they have no choice.
Yeah. It certainly looks to be that way. And... last match we'll cover, although it isn't the main event, as I've already said. The World Tag Team titles on the line as Blackout, Ruckus and Black G's defend against the Catalyst, Eric Groen and Dustin Reyes. I think after everything that happens, I don't want to see another title change immediately. So, I'll say Blackout retain. I know it isn't an exact immediate title change, but if that's the case, I think it probably has changed hands 3 or 4 times in the last 4 months or something like that. Ever since the WrestleCon show, wasn't it?
Okay, Nation of Intoxication started out the year with the belts, and they lost the belts to the Catalyst at 14th anniversary show. And then Catalyst would lose to Blackout at WrestlePon. Actually, yeah, those are the only title changes, too.
Didn't the titles change in the that ladder match with the box?
The aerial assault? No, that was... Oh, wait, that's what the boss. You're either the aerial assault, or you talked about the match from Gates to Death.
I think if it was the aerial assault one, the one that opened the pay-per-view.
Okay, yeah, that was Cage of Death. There was Cage of Death, and then aerial assault was, it was WrestleCon, and
I thought aerial assault did open the WrestleCon show. Hang on,
it did, yeah. Aerial assault opened WrestleCon. The one was it before Loco retained? And was it before Loco and Nation of Intoxication, and now it was Cage of Death.
Hang on, I'm quickly going to the...
Yeah, that was Cage of Death, Nation Intoxication for Locals, 6-man match.
Right. I got confused because I think I probably saw that like in early January because I saw the archive of it. But, my pick, tag team-wise, I'm going to say... Blackout retains. I think Randy, you said. Did you give you?
Oh, no, I would not give my pick on this. This one I actually waited to give my pick on for. So I'm going to say the Blackout will retain.
I'm going to keep it simple, and I say the Kala this wins the belt.
Okay. Just having a quick look to see if I can get the figures up as to when the titles. No, not that's too far. Yeah, the Catalyst won him in February. Yeah, at 40th anniversary, and Blackout officially got them at the WrestleCon event. I thought was somewhere, you know, after that, but. Take it back. I stand corrected. As I often do on this show. And finally, we turn to this Friday. Oh, actually, no. Before I get to that, there is going to be a benefit show for Masada next Friday, the 19th, in somewhere in Pennsylvania. I'll just see if I can quickly get the details of it up. I know that tickets are $10, but that's a minimum. If you want to give more, you can, because I believe the majority of the money will be going towards the bills for Masada surgery. I'll just see if I can bring it up. They've yet to reveal a proper card on it as to who they're going to be facing. I guess because they haven't fully decided what it is that's going to be on yet, but I think it's in. Hang on. Just quickly bring it up. Dun-dun-dun. Yeah, this is the preparation, people. I'm leaving this in because, yeah, it shows you how hot and flustered I am this week. God damn, you know, normally the British weather is absolutely rubbish and rainy and everything, and then when it's really hot, we still complain. Brilliant. It's going to be at the VOGT Rec Center at 6700 Cottage Street in Phila, Pennsylvania, is it? Phila? Phila? I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but it's Phila, Pennsylvania. The details are on CZW's website. It is next Friday, but I just wanted to give you some of the guys a heads up because it's $10 suggested donation. More info will be announced probably next week. So, those of you who are CZW fans and want to help out Masada, try and get to that event next Friday. So, this Friday, in fact, as long as you're listening to this on the Friday, if it goes up then, tonight, Shine 11 happens, and it's the first Shine that's really got a title in its name, and by title I mean one title, one destiny. It's a 9 p.m. bell time, in their usual spot of the Orpheum and the Orpheum in Ybor City, Florida. And I believe no other matches have been signed to it. It's just matches in the tournament. There's no, like, non-tournament matches. So, the Bracket A for Fatal 4-Way Qualifier will be seeing Mercedes Martinez, Nikki Rocks, Lufisto, who's replacing Taylor Made, and Sue Young. Now, I think due to the change, I actually think they're going to let Lufisto go over on that one, so I'm going to pick Lufisto for that one.
I'm going to go Lufisto.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going to say Lufisto goes over.
Then bracket B, the Fatal 4 4-way qualifier for this one is Amazing Kong, Angelina Love, Ivelisse, and Kimberly, as in Crazy Kimberly, not Kimberly of CZW and all that. Except every time because they have the same name, but I think for this one you actually will see Ivelisse win because I think there will be some Valkyrie shenanigans going on with that one, more than likely.
This is interesting. I want to say Amazing Kong, but you know what? I'll probably go with Ivelisse too. That's something not too bad. Had more Valkyrie in the tournament.
I'm going to say Kimberly goes over.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that as well, definitely. So then we go into the proper first round quarterfinals. Starting off with Rain taking on the winner of the Bracket A qualifier. So for all of us, it's Lufisto, so at least that's a uniform one for all of us. So Rain versus Lufisto. I'm probably going to say Lufisto on this one. I think that April Hunter's going to try and interfere, but I think Rain will probably not be successful this time.
I'm going to go with Rain here.
Okay. Sandra?
You know what? I'm going to say Lufisto goes over.
The only reason I say that is because of the next match, which is Sweet Soraya Knight taking on Jessica Havoc. I honestly think with the way they've been pushing her, I think Havoc is going to get the win here. She's gonna go over some of the greats like Soraya and in the previous round Eagles in order to get there. And in essence, set up a damn good semi-final in Lufisto versus Havoc.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna say Jessica Havoc here. I would like to see Jessica Havoc versus Rain, especially considering this. They do have some history, actually. Havoc used to be a part, I think, Rain stable in WSU before she broke off and started the Midwest Militia, and they were all set to have a big match, I believe, too, up until. So the new ownership came in, and Rain was later gone from WSU not too long afterwards. So he should have, but we'll see it here.
Sandra?
I'll say this. This should be one hell of a match between Soraya Knight and Jessica Havoc. But I'm going to say Soraya Knight goes over.
Okay. Next up... in bracket B, the Fatal 4-Way winner will be taking on Santana. So for myself and Randy, it's Ivelisse. For that one, I think I'm going to say Santana.
All right, repeat Randy. That again. Yeah. Sure.
Well, for us, Randy, it's Ivelisse versus Santana in the quarterfinals.
Okay. Ivelisse versus Santana? I'm going to say Santana.
Okay. Now, Vasandro, it is Kimberly taking on Santana, and considering what the other match is, I kind of think where you could be going, but what's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going to say Kimberly goes over next in the semifinals.
Okay, so the final match in bracket B, final quarterfinal, sees Lever Bates take on Mia Yim. And we already know that Lever is going to be cosplaying as Venom, by the looks of it.
Could we possibly see Carnage?
Ooh, I can see that.
Now that you've said that, Lever wins. Lever goes to the semis. Lever goes to the semis.
I just said the magic words there. Now, in light of seeing what Damien Fox looks like as Electro on for the new Spider-Man movie, which doesn't look too bad, although it's definitely not what Electro looked like in the past, but hey, Green Goblin didn't look like what he looks like in the past. Or he'd have a big purple.
Why did Green Goblin look Wilhelm Dafoe? That's what I don't get.
Oh yeah, there's that too. And we've seen Lever Bates go through almost a bit of a dark place since her feud with Kimberly, and almost kind of showed some of that, bringing up the fact that her and Mia Yim are both dating the members of Dos Bandejos, which was kind of odd. It is something that we would probably joke about, or my friend Jay, or our friend Jason Abaco would, since he was the one that actually told me about that. But
I'm gonna have to dig out that video now for people to see on the Facebook page of her revealing herself as Venom.
No, it's there.
Oh, it is there. I'll put it there again. Just for the heck of it.
It's in our archives, or go on to the Shine Wrestling YouTube page. One of the two won't really matter. Preferably ours, because you'll still come there to get a view each way. See, kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to go. It would be nice to see me again, but especially bringing up that Carnage, and I think other people are saying, is she going to do like a Randy Savage and come out in different costumes? Or, in this case, different trunks, uniform, accoutrement. Yeah, she used accoutrement. Lever Bates.
Okay. I'm going to say Lever Bates goes to the semifinals. And I assume that she would be, if she moves on into the tournament, I would assume she would be come out in a different cosplay as she did at the recent Anarchy Championship Wrestling Women's Tournament not that long ago. She did the same thing.
Oh, for Queen of Queens?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did the themed costumes, didn't she? Because it was... what was it?
It was the early Star Wars episodes.
Yeah, as Amidala from episode 1 and 2. Bet how many people are going, if only she did it from the original trilogy. And it was like, God damn it, she better make it to the final and come as Return to the Jedi Leia.
Can we have Slade Girl Leia? Oh, there. Sorry. Not the biggest star.
Semi-finals. For me, it is Havoc versus Lufisto. I don't care, because... Bloody... If Havoc's wrestling Knight and Lufisto, and if she goes on the same night, blimey. Havoc will win, but it's going to be a damn good match as well if it is that. Between, you know, Havoc could be competitor of the night, and she may not even win the title in the end. But, yeah, that's my pick. Randy, for you, it is... I think it's Havoc versus Rain.
Yeah. Like I've said before, I believe this tournament was made for Rain to win, pretty much, and I'm going to say Rain.
Okay, and for Sandro, it's... Is it Fisto Havoc, or is it Fisto and Knight?
It's Lufisto against the Orion Knights, and in that match, I'm going to say Soraya's going to go to the finals.
Okay. Then the other semi-final for me is Santana versus Lever. I think Lever might somehow get the win here. Mainly because I'm intrigued which other Spider-Man character she'll come dressed up as. I'm just basically looking through. She could be Scream, she could be Toxin, she could be Anti-Venom.
Black Cat? Yeah, Black Cat.
Yeah, but it's not really the, it's the whole symbiote thing, isn't it?
Yeah, oh well, if you're going...
It's supposed to be the, you know, the twisted versions of Goody Spider-Man.
Sandman? Well, that's kind of, he's kind of in the middle, I don't know.
It will be the Spider-Man symbiote. It will be something like that.
I would like to see that.
I'm trying to look at the costumes now.
Honestly, she should probably...
look at the designs.
That would probably be nice if she started with the symbiote first, then go to Venom, and then have Carnage. And...
There's nothing about... Oh, there's no... Apparently there's no drawings of Anti-Venom.
Oh.
But, for you, Randy, the semi-final is...
This is going to be a good match, and although I've really been impressed with Santana, she's been on a roll, really kind of under the radar almost in a way, and Santana really been pretty dominant, even though she's really kind of been mostly kind of in the middle of the car for most of it. But I'm going to still say Leva goes on, and we get Rain Leva in the finals.
And Sandro, it's Kimberly versus Leva as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, Kimberly versus Leva, sorry. Which of course, you know, that could be an interesting view.
Yeah, I know we've had it a bunch of times, pretty much through the first half of 2013, but just for the sakes of it, it'd just be interesting once again. Obviously, it won't be a hardcore match, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I'm going to say Leva goes to the finals.
So the one thing we can all agree on the final is Leva will be in it. We can't agree on what cosplay she'll be doing. We can't agree who she's facing. But so the final for me is Leva versus Havoc. And I honestly think they're going to give it to Havoc. I still think it's going to be one... It's a 50-50 for me. They could do it either way. And possibly have Leva actually turn heel. Legit. Because of everything that's happened in her feud with Santana. With Kimberly, sorry. But... yeah, I'm going to say Havoc for the win. And that isn't because I'm a Havoc fan. It's the way I'm trying to think that they could book it ahead of future Shine shows. Now, Randy, for you... it's Leva versus Rain.
No, for me, I'm seeing the two things that happen. If Rain see like Valkyrie doing all they can to cheat, and the locker room pretty much emptying out, maybe possibly the locker room or at least members, certain members of the locker room or people that have had heat with Valkyrie coming out to make sure that no funny business goes on. On the other hand, I see Valkyrie making a statement showing that the stable was a success, I guess. Or, in this case, for Rain becoming the Shine champion. So, kind of flipped it there on which, because I can see both happening. But I'm going to go with...
Even though it's the wrong member of Valkyrie. Evilise for the win. Anyway. Pick is...
I'm going to say, as long as Evilise comes out to the outsider's work, then she can win. Rain will win.
And for you, Sandro, it's Soraya Knight versus Leva.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. Originally, I wanted Soraya Knight to win simply because she had lost the Shimmer title, maybe just to give her another title reign in a different promotion, but she hasn't been in Shine for that long. And Leva has had a pretty good run for Shine. So I'm going to say Leva's going to win. She's going to become
Lita. Lita's been in pretty much every single Shine show, hasn't she?
Yes, she has.
That's commitment to the brand, and that's the kind of thing that they like. For some reason.
Also helps she lives in Florida, but...
yeah.
Well, anybody else... No, Santana, too, lives in Florida. Few of them live in Florida.
One of the interesting things we can definitely say there is... At least we're not agreed. We do go various different ways, and we've both picked three different winners. Of course, it'll be a complete swerve, and Taylor Hendricks will probably win. Something weird like that.
I'll probably say this. If you're a fan of women's wrestling, I say order the live at pay-per-view.
Yes. Definitely.
Even though it's WWE Live and they've had their shares of issues with live feeds, there hasn't...
Shine doesn't seem to be having that many problems.
Exactly. So I would say take Shine a chance.
Shine is the number one show on WWE Live.
Put it in the background. Put it on your screen. Turn it to mute. And have myself and Sean on with the open book from 10. And then during the commercial breaks, mute us. Although, how would you know when we've restarted? Turn us down and put the wrestling on, because it is... Sadly, I won't be able to see it live because I'll be doing prep and everything for the open book show, but I am damn catching the archive of it.
Yeah, this is going to be a show to check out. Maybe in later years, this will go down much like the first Shimmer tournament going down. We'll talk about the first Shine champion, of course. The first Shimmer champion was, I don't know, just somebody named Sarah Del Rey.
Who?
Sarah Amato, trainer at that place.
I've heard that name somewhere. I can't remember where.
But I don't think she's the trainer that, you know, sexually harassing people, allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say that's all for this week, but breaking news during the taping. Dom Juan has actually posted up the first round matches for the FWE Openweight Grand Prix. So I just thought I'd give them a mention, because there's some interesting matches set up here. You've got Tommy Dreamer versus Carlito. Mike Bennett versus Firebird George Santi. Paul London versus Tony Nese. Brian Kendrick versus Joey Ryan. Colt Cabana versus Jay Lethal. Chris Masters versus Wes Draven. Somehow I think Stone Cold E.T. is going to be involved there. And P.E. Williams versus Sonjay Dutt. And that's your first round matches. Which is an interesting set of first round matches. I will give it that. But after that, breaking news as of recording. That is everything for this week's Hall Indie Show. I think. I don't think there's anything. There's no other major shows that I think we're forgetting. Because I think they've all been covered, really, with the Ring of Honor live events and the Shine and CZW shows. Obviously, next week is going to be interesting. If L Train is on, we're going to be talking about that. We're definitely going to be talking about Shikara. If that happens, if that has an event. I don't know. We'll have to see what develops over the next few days. Definitely Kaiju, because Sandro is going to be there with a live report. You're going to be in the field. You're going to be watching it, and you can give us a report back the following week.
You're talking about the Kaiju one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's next week, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Next Saturday.
I thought you were referring to me going to the Chikara show. I'm like, what? I'm not going there.
No, you're not going there.
Oh. Yeah.
If they suddenly say the 21st show is actually a Chikara show as well, it's anywhere near you, you might just want to turn up and see if anybody else is there.
Yeah, and eat.
And then if not, just walk by.
Well, I don't have a car, so that's not going to happen.
Okay, I've thrown out the window. Randy, can you get to New York or Eastern Pennsylvania for this next weekend? I doubt it.
If I had enough money for a plane to the East Coast, I would.
Wink took all your money. Brilliant. Cheers, Wink. Anyway, that's all for this week's show. Make sure you check out all the other shows here on the network. Tuesdays you have Unplugged with Jeff and Bronx. And that was one of the craziest calls from Crelly I've heard in quite a while that week, guys. That was out there.
I haven't heard the call, but I have heard Bronx right on the page. Apparently, Crelly said he drained the Bronx and pretty much up to the Bronx, so we got war here. New York versus England. Notwithstanding.
He don't represent England. He represents Crelly. He can represent himself.
So it's the Nation of Crelly?
Yes, the NOC. No overall control. Fridays, you have the open book with myself and Sean at 10 p.m. Eastern. Sundays, including this Sunday, Sunday Night Showdown with JJ and Shark and Bronx for the WWE pay-per-views. Bronx also does the TNA ones when they come around, which isn't that often now. But the next one, as I said, this Sunday, Money in the Bank. Looking forward to that. Podcast-wise, you've got Running the Ropes with Crelly and Mav. I know they've got an interview set up for Taylor Hendricks, and I think trying to get an interview with Matt Morgan, given his release from the company.
And in that interview, Crelly will try to get Taylor Hendricks' number, allegedly.
Well, technically, he'll already have it, won't he? Because they're bringing her up to get it. He's already got her number. Come on. Think through, Randy.
That's true. I forget he is the connections man, I guess you could say.
But yeah, you've got Running the Ropes, Crelly and Mav, the Elite Force podcast, both the midweek with Chuck W and the weekend edition with Walkie and Mind White. You have Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman. You've got The Hard Way, I think. I don't know whether that's been archived just yet, because they were hopefully going to record it over the weekend. I'm not sure, but keep an eye out for new shows from them, definitely. Trying to think, is that everything covered? I think it is, other than us, of course. But yeah, we could mention us, but that would be like tooting our own horn too much.
Yeah.
And given that it's our 1 year anniversary, there's no need to toot the horn.
Oh yeah, happy 1 year anniversary.
Calling the gang celebration just randomly playing in the background next week.
Happy anniversary to us.
And at our anniversary, we didn't get cut off. I shouldn't have said that, because the producer would just randomly edit a cut-off.
Yeah, that might end up happening.
No, that'll be next week.
We probably should have said anything, and that should have been the ending.
No, because there needs to be I want to do the line. It can't be the whole indie show without that line. it's not a catchphrase, even though it probably is to some. I don't know. But Sandro, any final words before we head out?
Something interesting that our show and Shine has in common, we're both celebrating our 1-year anniversary this week, so kind of interesting to find out.
We are the same age as Shine.
Yes.
Except we like to boast that we've done 50-something shows, whereas they've only done 12. So, I don't know if that we're up. We're relatively level with Shimmer now. We're catching up.
Other than that,
I'm pretty sure we covered Shine 1 when it would have came out.
Yeah, so. I think we've covered pretty much every Shine show. Yeah. We've either done a review of it, or we've certainly covered the results from it, so.
So I seem to remember, yeah, we did. I want to remember Shine, too, because I remember reviewing the Taylor, the three-way. I always bring up WW three-way, yeah. Holy shit. Pretty mind-boggling there, thinking about that, too. That, and even though it's been going on, but yeah, I remember Sandra mentioning that earlier in the week.
If Shine randomly gave a shout-out to us for our first birthday on their show, that would be incredible. Oh, won't happen.
Probably won't. Maybe AIW, they tend to get more shout-outs to
people. We don't have that much rub in the indie circuit, even though we promote the hell out of everyone that we can and tell everybody where they are.
We just need more interviews, like the wonderful interview with Corey Castle you can listen to.
Yeah, catch that on the archive.
Archive. But for my final thoughts, I'll just bring up the fact that a little odd wrestling news story you may or may not have heard, probably mentioned on one of the shows. Surprised it wasn't mentioned according to me. And that is because Micro Championship Wrestling, yes, the Midget Championship Wrestling Company, had their largest ever gate here in my hometown of El Paso, Texas, at the Socorro Entertainment Center. Going a little far.
What was the largest gate? Texas. 5'2".
The largest gate. Or yeah, about 4,500 people showed up to the event. Their largest.
Damn!
Ever. Oh, yeah. Well, mainly because there happened to be an autograph session with Goldberg, Steiners, Nasty Boys, I believe, were there as well. So, yeah, a lot.
Goldberg versus Midget.
And it's funny, too, because my friend wanted to go, and he's not into wrestling at all. And he was like, "Are you going?" I'm like, maybe.
Did he want to go for the midgets or the autographs?
Honestly, I probably would have got more for the autographs. The midgets would have been interesting to see. I'm not... I don't mind the minis. But it would have been interesting to see midget wrestling with people not... With Ito not being the end of their names for most of it. Or Ita or Jake Park, whatever. Sandra knows what I'm talking about. But anyway...
Lucha Vavoom.
Yeah, or Lucha Vavoom. Lucha Vavoom needs to come to El Paso, I guess.
Where is Max Mini?
Looking at the last answers.
new segment coming up in 2 months. Where are they now? First episode, Max Mini. Anyway, song of the night for this week. Nothing to do with the celebration, really. Just a nice little track from the last few months, and it's Pompeii from Bastille. So, with that was Randy, this was Ashley, that was Sandro, and all of this that's just occupied your life for the last year has been your, well, not this show, I'm saying the whole indie show itself, has been your weekly, your home for weekly slices of indie goodness. Here's to another year. When people have their 20th years and they say here's to another 20 years, here's to another 1 year doesn't sound that special. So I'll leave that there. We'll see you next week. Hope everybody has a good weekend and good night, everyone.
Watch the bridge. They filmed it here in El Paso.
Peace. I
you close your eyes. Does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
So wrong.